InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
To the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. It is Wednesday, the 18th of March, 2026. We have a raft of guest hosts for you today. I'll be with you for the first hour. Patrick Byrne will be taking over for me in the second hour. Matt Bracken, the third hour. And then the fourth hour will be Joe Biggs and Enrique Tarrio. And of course, we have a ton of news to get to today. The Iran war continues, of course, to dominate the discussion online and elsewhere. Of course, X was down for quite a while this morning. It just came back up. I don't think it was localized to us. I think there was a major outage. So unfortunately, that's where a lot of our show prep is done. But fear not, we're scrambling to put things together. And there is just a heck of a lot to talk about. Tulsi Gabbard is being grilled by the Senate right now over the Iran war, as well as the resignation and really resignation in protest of Joe Kent. That continues to be a major topic of conversation as well. Apparently he is sparring directly with Mark Levin and is going to go on a show with him, perhaps do a debate with old Mark Levin, which I think would be extremely interesting. Of course, they are claiming that he is a leaker and they're going to try to throw him in prison. But in reality, they're mad that he ever got there in the first place. I said this yesterday, and since then, there's been a series of confirmations of that, including, and this sort of, I think, gets to the heart of the issue, from an Israeli account on X called Israel War Room, an official, like it's got the golden badge, right? It's like officially a part of the government. So the Israeli government is commenting on Laura Loomer's post saying, "Who vetted this numbskull accusing Israel of forcing the U.S. into the Iraq war with a clown face?" Who vetted this numbskull? Somebody missed a red flag here. Do you understand what they're saying? Do you understand that the Israeli government is basically mocking the fact that we had a single person in our federal government that somehow made it through their gauntlet and was able to actually get a position in our federal government despite not being a lickspittle slave of Israel? And they're mad at that. And they're like, what happened here? Who vetted this guy? Because clearly he should have never been allowed into the federal government. Do you understand that Joe Kent resigning? Yes, it's, you know, embarrassing and a shameful thing for the Trump administration. But the real thing they're mad at is that somebody like Joe Kent ever got into the position he was in. They have worked tirelessly for decades to put control systems in place to guarantee that nobody with a sense of morality or, you know, honor or the willingness to sacrifice their own career to do what's right, they never should have gotten anywhere close to the levers of power. They're supposed to be weeded out early on, and you literally have an official Israeli government account on X saying that exact thing to Laura Loomer. Now, it gets even crazier because there was a guy in the Israeli or the Iranian negotiating team who did warn about the reaction Iran would have. He was fired by Donald Trump because of an article written by Laura Loomer in May of last year. So I'll show you all of this on the other side. But the resignation of Joe Kent should be a watershed moment in America, I think, where Americans, as Americans, we stand up and say, what the hell's going on here? And this can't go on much longer. Why do we have a foreign state vetting everybody in the American government? And can we not solve that problem? So we have a lot to talk about today. I'm going to show you clips from Tulsi Gabbard being questioned by the Senate here on the other side. We're going to talk about the advancements in the Iran war as the fuel depots are being hit and things are going from bad to worse, folks, in record time. Stay with us. It's the Alex Jones Show.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultra-methylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really know it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex for this first hour. We've got a whole bunch of great guest hosts coming up for the rest of the show and a lot going on the world over. And right now, Tulsi Gabbard is in D.C. being grilled by senators and congressmen. And we've got some clips from that. We'll go to some of those shortly. There are some updates to the Iran war, including absolutely devastating strikes against energy infrastructure, which will, of course, cause a rise in prices around the world. We're going to move on to some other stuff as well. Hopefully, we'll get to it. Not everything has to do with Iran and Israel, although there is a lot. And it's not just the attacks on Iran, the war with Iran, America versus Iran. You also have the ethnic cleansing going on in Lebanon, where one-fifth of that country's population has now been displaced, and they're running the Gaza Protocol against that nation of innocent people. So there's that to talk about. At the same time, they're going completely off the rails in the West Bank, bombing tent cities in Gaza. Absolutely murderous insanity for the settlers in the West Bank. We can get into some of that. So we'll get into all of that as well. They also shut down the Holy Sepulchre, which is where Jesus Christ was laid to rest during the 3 days. He was in repose before resurrecting. It is the site of a yearly miracle called the Miracle of Holy Fire that takes place on Pascha, the Eastern Orthodox Easter. And it's a true miracle, and it's something that people don't know enough about. I've got some videos to show you that explain what it is. Essentially on Easter Eve, we'll have to get into it. I'll just stay tuned for that, folks. It is one of the craziest things I've ever learned in my entire life when I first learned about Holy Fire. I've talked about it a little bit, you know, every once in a while because it's one of these things that it's like, I think this is as close to proof of God as you'll ever get. Spontaneous fire that erupts yearly and doesn't burn people and doesn't catch things on fire for the first 33 minutes. It is a really remarkable event. It happens every year. If it doesn't happen this year, because Israel has shut down the Holy Sepulchre, which they have, and they say they're not opening it for Easter, I believe it would be the first time at least since the 1500s, but I think it's been 1,200 years that this miracle has occurred. It would be the first time in over 1,000 years that it didn't occur, if I'm not mistaken. So this is a pretty major thing for them to do to shut this down. Of course, the Jewish sites and the Muslim sites are still open. It's only the Christian site that's been shut down in the district there in Israel where these things are. So we're going to get into all of that. So it's not just the Iran war. It's all of the periphery around the Iran war. But then there's other stuff like this, which I feel like in any other situation would like dominate our coverage. But because there's so much going on with the Iran war, this type of stuff is kind of going unnoticed. CIA accused of, quote, poisoning the sky with toxins as files expose secret weather control agenda. Oh, you don't say, Daily Mail. Wow, this is the first we're all learning about this. You're telling me that planes fly through the air and spray chemicals out that look like contrails but aren't? We should come up with a term for that. Guys, I think we should come up with a term to describe this. I'm thinking chemtrails. Chemtrail. What do we think? Should we all pretend to go back 50 years to where we didn't hear about this and we're all learning about it right now? Should we all pretend to be as dumb as the normies out there that believe the lies that are told to them? So, okay, crazy. That's a crazy thing to just admit casually in a mainstream media Daily Mail article, but there it is. Once top secret CIA files have detailed America's plan to control the world by manipulating the weather. Okay, Alex Jones. Okay, InfoWars. You know, go ahead and put your tinfoil hat on there, you crazy nuts. Just, okay, add it to the list, I guess. Rack it up. Add it to the list of the genocidal pedophile blackmail rings, the chemtrails, the poison in the food and water, turning everybody gay. It just goes on and on. So add it to the list, folks. The documents, declassified in 2003, discuss the controversial topic of weather modification, the tactic of launching rockets or using planes to dump chemicals into the atmosphere that alter the climate and local storm systems. Although the resurfaced documents from 1965 do not mention the specific chemicals used in the experiments, they did discuss the need for more funding of the weather modification projects that would soon be used as a weapon of war. So, anyway, we'll get back into this, but it just tells you how crazy the world is, where bombshell, incredible mainstream media confirmation of what we've been telling you for the last 30 years is absolutely true, and yet it's not even the top 10 stories that I have today. That's how crazy the world is today. So, you're welcome. We were right. Put the quarter in the jar. The Alex Jones was right jar. It's overflowing and ever growing. It's just, I hope you can support us. I hope you understand. I hope you actually join us in this. I hope I don't even have to explain to you what it feels like to be so relentlessly mocked for so long about something you just absolutely know to be true, and you just have to endure it. You just have to sit there as everybody in the mainstream, oh, what are you going to tell us about chemtrails? And it's like, yeah, guys, chemtrails. Now it exists. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what the average lie believer, like, we shouldn't even call them normies. They're lie believers. I don't know what the average lie believer thinks goes on in our minds, but like, do they think we're sitting around just making things up? Do they really think that we sit around and just go, I know, let's say they're dropping chlorine from dump trucks to darken the street because they're white supremacists. You people make things up. The mainstream media randomly makes up insane conspiracy theories that don't make any sense and have no basis, and then become themselves the basis of wide sprawling government investigations like the Russiagate conspiracy. I mean, they're the ones that are coming up with stuff out of whole cloth. We literally just report to you what they say. So it's not my fault that the head of the CIA has given public speeches in which he advertises the very cool industry of stratospheric aerosol injection. Some people call them chemtrails, but they're not. And it's like, okay, so we just hear them say things, see the proof that corresponds with and aligns with what they're saying. Then we turn around and explain it to the people. Oh, you know those chemtrails? Well, here's the director of the CIA talking about what it is, and it's weather control, it's weather modification, and they're toxic chemicals that are poisoning the food and water, and then we get called crazy. I don't know what you people think is going on. All we're doing is telling you the truth and then persisting to tell you the truth and continuing to believe the truth regardless of how many names we're called or how many supposedly educated and informed people mock and deride and condescend to us. We're just right the entire time. So I hope you understand. I hope you are one of these people that, like us, has looked into the matter with an objective view, searching for the truth. You found the truth was, yeah, chemtrails are real. They're absolutely real. They've been going on since the 60s and haven't slowed down the slightest, and are being used for some very nefarious circumstances. Because if they weren't nefarious, if they weren't underhanded and being done with ulterior motives in mind, then they'd be honest about it. But they lie about it because if people knew that we were being sprayed with toxic metals from airplanes, simultaneously poisoning us and manipulating the weather across the world, I think we'd all be outraged. And this is one of the things about the modern world that just sucks. I'm sorry, I don't have a more sophisticated way to say it. But, you know, once you learn about this stuff, it kind of becomes impossible to, like, you go outside and you don't think, like, ah, gee, it's bad weather today. Darn it. Oh, well, that's life. Nature will do that. Instead, you go, oh, thanks, fellas. Thanks, whoever did this to us. Thank you to whoever, whatever scumbag ruined my birthday party by spraying, you know, aluminum in the air to create clouds to rain on my parade. It's like, even the weather's not natural. We can't even blame God, blame the weather on God. It's some CIA operation that ruined your outdoor wedding. It's like infuriating that that's the situation that we're in. But yes, everything that's natural has been co-opted. Everything that God put in place in these very sophisticated, interconnected cycles are being severely disrupted with abandoned by psychopaths who are only able to do what they do because they keep their activities totally secret from everybody else with the knowing cooperation of the mainstream media who's in on all of it. So there's that. So that's happening also in the background while we're in war with Iran for the sake of Israel in order for them to welcome their Messiah and create a one world government with Israel as the capital of the world state. So yeah, we were right about everything, and it's getting down to the wire now. So it's time to act on all of our knowledge and stop this evil agenda from proceeding any farther. Now, on that note, we did our part. We came together. We resisted the attempts to shut us down. We fought back against the lawfare. We lost friends and family, and some of us lost jobs to continue to advocate for the continuing existence of our country. And we voted for Donald Trump, and against all odds, we got him over the line into office with an agenda that had only become more radical and more focused on American sovereignty over the intervening years between his first administration and the second election. He never went the other way. He didn't moderate. He didn't change his message from 2016, where back then he was saying, build the wall and deport them all. And now he's saying, well, we need to, moderate that a little bit. We've really got to reach out to the left. No, no, no. He went farther to the right. He went farther in his rhetoric on deportations and going after the deep state, all of it. He went farther than he ever had before. And he won with that agenda. And he went in to the government with the houses of Congress, the Senate and the House, fully in his control, a mandate to lead, the greatest political comeback in the history of America, if not the world. And then we've had to watch for the last 14 months as it has been systematically and deliberately squandered for the sake of a foreign state. And all the people that he brought in and the whole coalition that came with them, from RFK Jr. to Tulsi Gabbard, and all of their lieutenants and all the other great America First patriots swept along with Trump into his first administration, likewise, systematically eliminated one by one, one after the next. First, they get, blocked up and prevented from doing anything. Then they get let go. And it's happened one by one to all of them. It started happening before he was even elected. The first on this list might be Matt Gaetz, somebody that would have potentially taken the fight to the bad guys in a way that Pam Bondi seems unwilling or incapable of doing. And yet he was kept out. Why? Because he had been targeted in previous years with an Israeli underage sex blackmail ring, similar to Jeffrey Epstein, having to do with rescuing an Israeli spy from Iran. And so he was kept out of office. So from that point until this one, the entire Trump administration, the second term, has been a series of ridiculous failures, missed opportunities, backing down when they should double down when they should chill out a little bit, weaponizing every single aspect of what Americans wanted so that it no longer benefited Americans, but was rather twisted and turned towards the service of the Israeli infiltrators, things like deportation. We didn't get mass deportations. We didn't get the millions of deportations necessary. Some people are saying the actual number of deportations is like under a million at this point. after 4 years of millions and millions and millions of people coming over every year, we can't even get rid of a percentage of them. But if a college student wrote an essay about how the genocide of Gaza was wrong, they do get deported. That's where the energy and resources were dedicated, to silencing foreigners who are don't like Israel rather than rescuing our country in our hour of need. So it's just been disappointment after disappointment. The latest is Joe Kent. And I would not be surprised in the slightest if RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard were on his coattails, leaving all of this. Let's go to this video with Senator Warner asking Tulsi Gabbard about the president continuing to say he was shocked that the Iranians had moved to take over the Strait of Hormuz, because that doesn't make any sense. Again, I wasn't shocked. You weren't shocked. How was the president of the United States shocked at this? I actually have an answer. I actually know exactly why he was shocked at this. So it was Laura Loomer's fault. But let's go to Tulsi Gabbard here first. This is Tulsi Gabbard answering this question about why Trump was beyond all reason and logic and basic common sense surprised that Iran shut down the Strait of Hormuz. Let's watch.
He chose to omit the parts that contradict the president. The president continues to say as well that, you know, he had no idea, was shocked that the Iranians had moved to take over the Strait of Hormuz. Did you provide any intelligence that would say that it would be that it was not likely that the Iranians would try to move on the Strait?
I'm not aware of those remarks, and I think those of us here at the table can point to the fact that historically the Iranians have always threatened to leverage their control over the Strait of Hormuz.
Why would the president say he was amazed?
I'm not aware of those remarks.
What about the comments the president made that thought that he was surprised, again, reports that Iran struck the adjacent Gulf states?
Again, I'm not aware of those remarks. We have
Did you brief the president if he starts a war of choice that the likely result would be that Iran would strike adjacent Gulf nations and close the Strait of Hormuz? Did you brief him on those two facts that I think have been consistently the assumptions of the intelligence community?
I have not and won't divulge internal conversations. I will say that those of us within the intelligence community continue to provide the president with all of the best objective intelligence available to inform his decisions.
Senator Collins.
So again, we have reported multiple times in the recent past, including during the June conflict, Operation Midnight Hammer, that Tulsi Gabbard was providing Donald Trump with the accurate information about the nuclear program or Iran's, you know, willingness to attack America unprovoked. Only Trump was listening to somebody else. Who that could have been, I'll leave that up for you to decide. But Tulsi Gabbard, as the director of the Office of National Intelligence, she's at the top of all of American intelligence. So if it was sourced from an American intelligence source, she was aware of it. She briefed Trump on it. Trump listened to somebody else. He was getting information from somebody not within the American intelligence community, probably from Israel, who were telling him things that he believed over and above his own Office of National Intelligence. He said that's his words. Literally, he was put to the question by a reporter. Tulsi Gabbard says they don't have nuclear weapons. What do you say to that? And he said, I've heard something different. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Okay, so he's getting information from somebody who's not in the American intelligence network that's telling him things that aren't true. Now, here's the question and answer that happened with Peter Doocy yesterday. Doocy said, quote, you said they hit Qatar, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Bahrain, Kuwait. Nobody expected that. You were shocked. We were shocked. Are you surprised that nobody briefed you ahead of time that that might be their retaliation? Trump said nobody, nobody, no, 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 no. The greatest experts, nobody thought they were going to hit. Nobody did. Absolutely nobody. Here's the problem, though. 4 days before the Iran attack broke out this year, on February 24th, 2026, Nate Swanson published this, quote, why Iran will escalate U.S. military strikes in a risk of a quagmire, in which he details the method by which Iran will absolutely retaliate and escalate and shut down the Strait of Hormuz. Now, this was written for Foreign Affairs, published 4 days before the Iran war started. Nate Swanson was previously a member of the Iranian negotiating team for America, and he was actually in the State Department providing briefings to the president about potential war with Iran. So you have a guy, Nate Swanson, he's in the State Department, in the Iran negotiation team. 4 days before the attack, he publishes a story detailing exactly how Iran will escalate, will shut down the Strait of Hormuz, that it was no question about it. So why wasn't his advice listened to? Because he was kicked out of the State Department. He was fired from the State Department. Why? Because he was loomered. Because Laura Loomer got him fired. So the timeline goes like this. In February or May of 2025, Laura Loomer writes this article. Obama holdover Nathaniel Swanson must be removed from the State Department's Iran negotiating team. Obama holdover Nathan Swanson still shapes Iran policy. Trump must remove him to protect America first foreign policy. As President Trump prepares to steer America's foreign policy into a bold new era, a troubling relic of the Obama administration lingers in the State Department. Nathaniel Nate Swanson, this unelected bureaucrat entrenched at the State Department since the 2010s, played a key role in shaping Obama's Iran policy. Policy President Trump has rightfully criticized as weak and dangerous. So Laura Loomer writes an article about Nate Swanson saying he's an Obama holdover, he's not trustworthy, he's got to be gotten rid of. The Trump administration obeys her, listens to her, takes those orders and directions, fires Nate Swanson, fires the one guy that was telling them about the retaliation Iran would mount. Laura Loomer got the one guy fired that could have prevented this quagmire by providing accurate information about the scale and strategy with which Iran would respond to an attack. It's like Laura Loomer is responsible for this war in Iran, is what I'm saying. And the reason she wrote this, the reason she wrote the article getting rid of Nate Swanson is because he was providing accurate information. Because she knew, or they knew, everybody knew that Iran would fight back and attack. And you had to get rid of the people that would actually tell Trump that, tell him the truth, and prevent him from making, you know, ill-advised choices when it comes to Iran. You get rid of that guy. You provide Trump with inaccurate information. He makes choices on the basis of that inaccurate information. And now, 2 weeks after the war started, it's supposed to be 48 hours. It's still going on with no signs of stopping. It looks like we're staging troops to go in. We're bombing Karg Island. We're destroying all of the oil infrastructure in the region. And Trump looks around and says, where were my experts who could have told me Iran would have responded like this? Well, Trump, you had them. You had at least one. His name was Nathaniel Swanson. He told you exactly what would happen 4 days before you launched the attack. Only you fired him because Laura Loomer wanted you to. So that's where we're at. And just to finish off, I think this whole thing can be summed up in this headline from Washington Post. Israel urges Iranians to revolt, but privately assesses they'll be slaughtered. Israeli officials told U.S. counterparts they hope for an uprising, even though it would lead to a massacre, according to a State Department cable review by the Post. See, you could sort of transpose this by saying Israel urges Americans, and instead of revolt, to go to war with Iran, but privately assessed, they'll be slaughtered. Yeah, you should totally go to war. I mean, these people are totally going to get slaughtered. What type of people do this?
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th. 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, Seamoss, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You thought the leaden winter would bring you down forever, but you rode upon a steamer to the violence of the sun.
Broadcasting live from the UN stronghold, Austin, Texas. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And the
colors of the sea. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com, your one-stop shop for all things patriotic. Incredible merchandise there, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, all that sort of stuff. And look, folks, you're going to want to buy this stuff as soon as humanly possible. You know, we're not going to slow down in terms of delivering you the news and getting you the reports and just all the stuff that we normally do. That's not going to slow down. But legally, there is going to be a time when we're not able to maybe sell some of the logos or brands that we have sold, right? Legally, whatever happens to InfoWars, whoever ends up with it at the end of the day. What I'm saying is that you should be stocking up now on collectibles, knowing that in not too long of a time, they're going to be extremely rare and probably very valuable. I'm not giving financial advice by any means, but do it now. But get it now while you can, and just put it in a safe, throw it in the attic, and your grandkids can inherit a fortune, because once these are gone, they're going away forever, and one day in not too long, people are going to look back at the historical powerhouse that was InfoWars, and these little souvenirs of InfoWars in the AlexJonesStore.com are going to be reminders of a time where we were fighting for our freedom. Now, whether we're looking back from a republic in freedom or looking back from a tyranny, remembering a chance we had that we blew, I hope we're in the first. I hope we're in that former situation where we do win and these become, symbols of our victory, symbols of the struggle before the ultimate revolution. You can go to thealexjonesstore.com, go there today, get them now while you can, because while we will continue to operate and will continue to fight back against tyranny the world over, we may not be able to do it under the InfoWars brand. So go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Of course, iodine is out. It's the T3 triple iodine. And some of the most powerful supplements, not even that we make, just like ever on the market, available on earth. Trifecta iodine tincture, thealexjonesstore.com. You have no idea what it's going to do for you until you try it. The uses are innumerable. Like beyond it, just go, pull up Google, or if you use AI, go to AI and just go, what can I do with iodine? What does deep earth rare crystal iodine, what uses does it have? And then sit back and relax, because your AI is going to be spitting out stuff for about 5 minutes with everything this product can do. Iodine, go check it out now, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And with that, we go to some more clips from the hearings that were occurring earlier today with Tulsi Gabbard and others from the intelligence community. Let's go to clip number 6 here. This is Tulsi Gabbard talking about the intelligence community assessment of sort of the world battlefield and where World War 3 or 4, depending on who you ask, goes from here. Let's go to clip 8.
However, the intelligence community assesses that Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and Pakistan have been researching and developing an array of novel, advanced, or traditional missile delivery systems with nuclear and conventional payloads that put our homeland within range.
Okay. We got a lot of killing to do. I guess we got a lot of killing to do. It's going to be a lot of assassinations taking place around the world if we're going to be killing the leadership of every country that both vaguely dislikes us and has the ability to create weaponry. We're going to have to kill pretty much everyone. So maybe there's a different strategy we could take. I'm just thinking out loud here. Maybe killing everyone isn't the best idea. I'll workshop that. We'll see. Because I don't know. So far, killing everybody seems to be working, weirdly enough. Let's go to clip 9 here. This is Senator Cornyn questioning the CIA director about whether or not Iran truly was a threat where they were in their nuclear manufacturer capability. Let's watch.
The head of the National Counterterrorism Center resigned, saying that Iran did not represent an imminent threat to the United States. Is there anything to indicate that Iran had ceased in its nuclear ambitions or in its desire to continue to build ballistic missiles capable of threatening American troops and allies in the Middle East?
Senator, no. In fact, the intelligence reflects the contrary.
So you disagree with Mr. Kent?
I do.
I would think any fair-minded assessment of the situation, even based on open sources, would reflect the danger the regime poses to the United States.
Okay, so great. I mean, again, at least under Iraq, they had the weapons of mass destruction. At least they could point to a report, fraudulent though it was. Feels almost more respectful. It's like at least they lied to us, you know, at least they tricked us into it. Now, what, we've got about 15 different excuses for why we had to go to war with Iran. None of them even remotely based on evidence in any possible construction, right? Well, they killed 30,000 to 32,000, 90,000 protesters. Where and when? We don't know. Are there any images? Not really. Are there any reports from hospitals? Nope. Any reports from any news sites? No. So the whole claim came from like one anti-Iranian activist who claimed to have evidence for 3,000 deaths, then supposed that that may have been 1/10 of the number of people killed, and so therefore 30,000 people have been killed and we have to go to war with Iran. Even though we're not doing it for the people, we don't actually care if they're being killed. In fact, our bombing campaign has killed many thousands of Iranians and has been focused on civilian infrastructure and not really particularly military. So I don't even understand how this works. So we're killing Iranians because Iranians kill Iranians. Iranians killed Iranians, therefore we have to kill Iranians. Does that make sense? Just go back to WMDs. It was easier. It was simpler, right? But that's just one of the excuses. It's also the nuclear sites that were completely obliterated in June, but actually still exist, and they're on the cusp of a weapon. But actually, we were negotiating, but not really. That was all kind of fake anyway. But Trump did have a feeling that they were going to attack. It wasn't necessarily based on information, but the information is there. We just can't show it to you. I mean, what are we doing here, y'all? What a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive, right? It feels like an exercise in futility even discussing all of this. What I should be doing, really, honestly, is just ignoring absolutely everything they say before I even hear it, because I know it's a lie, before I even know what they are trying to lie about. What I should be doing is just treating this like what it is and just say, okay, the war by America on Iran on the behalf of Israel is going poorly, and the goal to render Iran into a chaotic civil war riddled mess for the next century or so is proceeding at a pace. All right. I mean, those are the goals. Those are the actual reasons that we attacked, and the simultaneous or sort of combination strategy by Israel to both use America to destroy Iran, but also in that process, cripple and severely destroy America so that we no longer represent a rival to Israel in its drive to become a hegemonic superpower. That's what's actually happening here. So all this other stuff, it just feels like a waste to even talk about it. And again, going back to this article that I said at the end of the last segment, the headline again, the actual real headline from Washington Post, confirmed with official sources inside the Israeli government, is, quote, Israel urges Iranians to revolt, but privately assesses they'll be slaughtered. Israel urges Iranians to revolt, but privately assesses they'll be slaughtered. There's a couple ways of looking at this, none of them good. But for one thing, you're the Iranians in this situation. You're not the Israelis. You're the Iranians, right? Israel urges America to go to war with Iran, but privately assesses they'll be slaughtered. Would that be so out of the ordinary? Would that be so out of line with what we know their strategy tends to take the form of? Israel urges America to go to war with Iran, but privately they know America is going to get brutalized and slaughtered and lose the conflict. Do you think there's any possibility that's true? Because we have seen that that is literally their strategy here. Because I really want you to think about this. I want you to think about how little sense it makes from the Israeli perspective. Think about if you're Israel. You've been just fiending to go to war with Iran. You were just so desperate to destroy Iran. It just crowds your mind every second of every day for the last 40 years. And so you're doing economic warfare against them. You're, you know, sending Mossad agents in to try to spread liberalism. You're trying to seed Starlink terminals so they can get access to Western media to try to sort of cause friction with the conservative, you know, very, you know, religious orthodoxy order that exists in Iran. And maybe you're contacted by Iranian dissidents who say, you know, we're sick of this religious control. We want to be free. We want to be Western. We want to help you. And so you, as Israel, run your little simulation. You go, what would happen if this group rebelled against the Iranian regime? Oh, they'd be slaughtered to a man. They'd all be killed. The revolution would go nowhere, and they would be brutalized. What type of person then goes to those rebels and goes, do it, go for it? You got our backing and we think you'll succeed. Go for it. Revolt. What is even the, what, like, what? Why would you do that? Why would that be your advice? Like, even if your goal is to take down Iran, the only reasonable thing to do would be to tell them, hey, not right now. You're not quite there yet. It's not the right situation. We can help you. We can work behind the scenes, grow your operation. Maybe you can do some quiet stuff, do some leafleting, do some things that aren't revolt outright, but could help you grow your ranks. And then once you're at a certain critical mass, then it will be time to really take to the streets when you're powerful enough for it to really impact and make a change. But they didn't do that. They said, go for it. They advised them to revolt. Their allies, people that wanted to help them, people that were willing to go against their own government to overthrow it for the sake of the Israelis, and the Israelis tell them, go for it, even though they know they're going to be slaughtered. Who even does that? What even is that? The only thing I can guess is they're just like, you know what? It'll cause chaos, and that'll be good enough. The only thing I can guess is that, like, they knew that there was never a chance that a revolt was going to work, so it didn't even matter if they tried to build strength quietly before launching the revolt. It was like, look, they launch it now, it causes chaos, goes nowhere, they all get slaughtered, or they build up for several years, cause a revolt, cause chaos, and get slaughtered. Let's just do it now. Let's just get it done with now. This is what it's like to be an ally with the Israelis. This is how they think about you. You're not just disposable. You're disposable without any purpose. It's not like, well, they may be slaughtered, but in turn, we'll achieve this great victory. We will sacrifice them knowing they'll get slaughtered. We'll encourage that they revolt, knowing they'll be slaughtered, but in turn, we'll weaponize that and then go to war with Iran, and their sacrifice will have overthrown the... No, no. They just went, oh, you want to revolt? You should. Trust us. The Iranian regime won't do anything. We'll protect you. We got your back. We'll communicate. We'll help organize with you. And then they all just get slaughtered. And Israel achieves nothing. They just got their allies who were helping them killed. And that's the choice they make. I'm telling you, folks, they're crazy. They're crazy. It doesn't even make strategic sense. Israeli officials told U.S. counterparts they hope for an uprising, even though it would lead to a massacre. Israeli officials told their counterparts they hope for a war with Iran, even though it would lead to a massacre. Like, do I need to explain? Like, do I need to elaborate? I think that, like, this headline is the most Israeli thing I've ever heard. Yeah, we're on your side. You should revolt. Yeah, you should rise up against the Iranian regime. I know they're dangerous, but we're Israel. We have your back, okay? We got you on this. You'll be in charge of Iran if you just help us. That was getting mowed down. Israel's like, okay, job well done. Who's next? What? Why did you do that? What is wrong with you? Freaks. Psychos. Okay. Just throwing that out there. That's what they're doing to us, and we're falling for it. I don't know why. Let's go to clip 11 here. Again, this is CIA Director Ratcliffe, who I believe has been referred to in mainstream papers as Mossad's stenographer. Do I have that right? Can the crew double check that? Isn't that what John Ratcliffe, he's been referred to as Mossad's stenographer? Let's double check that. Here's Mossad's stenographer, CIA Director Ratcliffe, talking about how the CIA is focusing on their core mission. Let's watch.
Last year when I was here in my confirmation, I promised you all, and you had all asked for, a more aggressive CIA, one that was focused on core mission, getting back to the business of stealing secrets, to be able to provide our policymakers with a decisive strategic advantage that would allow an advance and contribute to foreign policy and national security successes. To the credit of the CIA workforce, the CIA has delivered. Some of those successes have been very public. As you mentioned, Senator, Operation Midnight Hammer, Operation Absolute Resolve, flawless military operations like that are hostage to a flawless intelligence picture. And the CIA, as you know from classified briefings, contributed in myriad ways to the success of that. But what I would say to you is those successes are just emblematic of the phenomenal progress and success really by every measure, every metric, every standard across every national security space with regard to the work of the CIA. Senator, you mentioned some of it in your opening. The increase of our asset stable and our human sources up by 25%. Our FI collection across the board, our foreign intelligence collection up by 25% overall, and in important categories like China, for instance, up 100%. In areas like tech and AI, up 45%. On the counter-narcotics front, our operations up by 70%. And with regard to counterterrorism, those are classified numbers that I'll share with you in the classified portion of this hearing, but they're off the charts good.
Oh, okay, great. What about all the terrorist attacks? What about the Afghan nationals who were arrested for trying to materially support ICE only to be released several months later and go on to get a gun and go kill a bunch of ROTC students? What about the other Afghan national that was brought over as part of the refugee program after the collapse of the Afghanistan operation under Biden, who murdered two National Guards by shooting them in the head? What about the Lebanese like Hezbollah member that drove his truck with a bunch of explosives into a synagogue like last week? What are you judging your success by, sir? You hired new people? That's your incredible jaw-dropping success? He's like, we have been gathering so much more information. Trust me. Trust me, we have hired 40% more sources. It's like, okay. Who cares? What are you talking about? We're at war with Iran. The economy is collapsing. Our border was open. We've got God only knows how many stay-behind sleeper networks here from China and Iran and anybody else that felt like sending agents in through our completely porous border to be given a home by the Biden administration and then lost, maybe given a kid while they're at it. What the hell are you talking? Like, what do you do here, sir? It's time for that Office Space sit-down where it's like, but what do you actually do? What have you actually achieved? What have you actually stopped? Yeah, there it is. A Trump official tells The Gray Zone that CIA Director John Ratcliffe is a Mossad stenographer. Well, as we know, according to the people that do it, Israel vets everybody that works in the federal government, including those in our intelligence community. So that's just how it is. That's not foreign interference, even though they are a foreign country and they are interfering. It's just normal, right? Left wing, right wing, it's all the same. Anti-war anti-Semitism is still anti-Semitism, okay? So that means that if you don't like war, that's fine, unless it's Jews waging the war, and then you're not allowed to think that anymore. So it's not about the things you criticize being criticism on the basis of Judaism. You can criticize anything. If it's Jews doing it, then the defense will be on the basis of their Judaism. Do you understand? We aren't criticizing the war in Iran because it's Jews pushing it, but because it's Jews pushing it, our criticism of the war in Iran is considered anti-Semitic. Do you understand? Our criticism is not motivated by their Judaism. The defense is motivated by their Judaism. Sort of an inversion of anti-Semitism in a lot of ways. Let's go to clip C from my list. This is CNN's Jake Tapper accusing Joe Kent of being anti-Semitic. And once again, we're reminded that Joe Kent being hired in the first place was a startling breach of security. He should have been weeded out. They should have figured out that he was the type of guy that didn't want to waste American lives on war with Iran. He should have never been allowed anywhere near a position of power. Everybody that works at the federal government has to either be a literal Israeli, a lickspittle blackmail slave of the Israelis, or at the very least, a spineless and easily blackmailable scumbag who will simply go along with whatever he has to in order to make money or get access to little children to eat. You know, whatever their proclivity is, it's like those are the people that are in our government, and everybody who is moral, upstanding, righteous, believes in the founding documents, is actually a Christian, or in a word, just doesn't subject themselves completely and abjectly to every whim of Israel, they're out. They're gone. They're not allowed to serve in the American government. And it's literally what they're saying. And you have an official Israeli government account on X saying to Laura Loomer, who vetted this Joe Kent guy? This was a mistake. In other words, where was your article loomering Joe Kent like you did to Nathaniel. We're supposed to use, you know, fabricated, politicized media outrage to destroy everybody who would stand up to Israel. Where were you, Loomer? And they're saying this literally in public from an official Israeli government account, talking about how they get to vet everybody in our government. Let's go to clip C now.
Joe Kent resigned today. He says Iran posed no imminent threat to the United States. He blamed the war and also the war in Iraq and also the U.S. war against ISIS in Syria. He blamed all of it on pressure from Israel and the pro-Israel lobby. Kent's letter also, first of all, before he was confirmed as director of the NCTC, he faced Senate opposition because of ties to white supremacists and anti-Semites. His letter blames Israel and absolves Trump, blames Israel for the war in Iran, blames Israel for the war in Iraq, blames Israel and its supporters for ISIS, for the war on ISIS in Syria. And I think there are a lot of people today wondering, how did somebody like this get a position like this in government given his anti-Semitic views?
A legitimate question. I'm personally glad he's gone. NCTC is a very important operation that connects the dots to protect the American people, particularly right now in a high state of terror alert. This anti-Semitism that we've traditionally seen on the left, we're now seeing it a little bit on the right side here. He's not the type of individual I personally would want to appoint to that position, given his anti-Israel views and his anti, quite frankly, president views now.
His anti-president views. Yeah, it's not anti-Semitic to say the truth. It's not anti-Semitic to say that Israel got America into the war against Iran. Marco Rubio said it. Donald Trump said it. An envoy attached from the UK government to the negotiation team also said it. It's not anti-Semitic. You should have to prove how this is anti-Semitic. But the fact is, you're Jake Tapper right there saying, I can't believe somebody who is anti-Semitic got into the government in the first place. As if loving and being completely 100% dedicated to Israel is some sort of prerequisite for serving in the American government. What a ridiculous situation we find ourselves in. You want to know how ridiculous it is? For the last year and a half, we've been fighting to get the SAVE Act passed, to pass voter security. 75% of all of Americans want it, including the Democrats. We can't get it passed for the life of us. What was the Senate doing yesterday? They passed the HEAR Act, H-E-A-R, officially fighting for the family of Holocaust victims. So that's what they're doing. We can't get voter security, but the whole Senate came together to talk about the Holocaust and anti-Semitism again. So that's all our government seems capable of doing. Patrick Byrne takes over on the other side. Stay with us.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really know it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexshowstore.com.
We have a new product in at thealexshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexshowstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
A roar mixed with joy and tears welcomes the light coming out of the Holy Sepulchre. In a few minutes, it spreads throughout the basilica, from the candles of the Greek patriarch, from the side windows of the wayside shrine. The miracle of fire, gift from the risen Christ.
Unbelievable, unbelievable, the best feeling ever. Christ is risen, he's truly risen. Oh no, 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 it's just a light. It's a light for 33 minutes, it's just a holy light.
The Orthodox Sunday of Light is one of the most crowded celebrations in Jerusalem. From the early hours of dawn, the old town is closed by the police. Inside the ancient walls, there are few privileged ones with the local faithful, like Irene, a Coptic Christian, who arrived with her husband from Cairo.
We slept only, I think, 1 hour or 2 hours.
we wake up for 4 o'clock, four morning, yeah.
The task of knocking on the door of the basilica belongs to the Armenians. They are the first to enter the Holy Sepulchre, followed by the representatives of the other Orthodox communities. Everyone has their place around the edicula of the Holy Sepulchre. The last to arrive are the young Christians of the neighborhood, who do not go unnoticed. The Greek patriarch Theophilus III, surrounded by a crowd, the procession begins around the edicula. Three rounds accompanied by an invocation to God to make him appear through the holy light. After removing the liturgical vestments, Theophilus III enters the Holy Sepulchre. With him in the antechamber, there is the Armenian patriarch, the only witness to the miracle. All the candles and other lights of the basilica are turned off while the Greek patriarch invokes the empty tomb, the sign of the resurrection, the prodigious lighting of the holy fire. The bells of the Holy Sepulchre ring for a long time. The miraculous light spreads even outside the basilica through the lighted lamps of the pilgrims.
In Old City, Jaffa Gate.
Thank you.
Yes.
The holy fire illuminates the torches of the scouts and the festive march around the walls of the old town.
All right, so folks, that is a little report on the miracle of holy fire. It happens every year on Orthodox Easter. And you should go look into this if you haven't ever heard of it. You can find videos that are absolutely incredible of people who go to witness this miracle specifically to discredit it. And they go there going, I'm going to figure out what's really going on here. And then they come away going, I think I'm Christian now. I think I have to be Christian now because of what they witnessed. And the things they describe seeing are incredible. And there's one thing about miracles that sort of been unexplained so far. It's often hard to capture them on camera. And you can find videos of the miracle of holy fire where you actually see fireballs shoot around. But every time the camera will actually go blurry. Like it'll unfocus. And then you see like fireballs fly and then it focuses again. It's totally miraculous. I mean, you cannot watch this and not, like, watch some of the clips from it and watch people talk about it and not realize what's happening is miraculous. In fact, what happens is the patriarch goes in there. Before he goes into the sepulcher, he's searched by the IDF, the Israeli police, rather. They search the guy. They make sure he has absolutely nothing on him except for candles. He has no method of lighting a fire. They then put him in the sepulcher. They seal the door completely so nothing can get in and out, and somehow the fire starts in there. And he has no flint, he has no seal, he has no matches, he has no lighter. And yet the fire emerges and then starts spontaneously sprouting all around. And there are these blue lights that flash that are incredible. Here you can see video of people trying to light their beards on fire. And if it gets to the next one's even crazier. But I mean, I've seen videos of, look at this. Nuns and all sorts of people. And the fire is huge and they're like washing their hair with it. It's crazy. And hopefully we have enough time to get to the next one. But I'm bringing all this up because for the first time in potentially 1,200 years, this miracle will not be occurring because the Holy Sepulchre has been shut down. For the first time in living memory, liturgies have stopped inside the basilica for weeks. The closure comes at a particularly sensitive moment in the Christian calendar. Church leaders in the Holy Land say the situation is unprecedented in duration. And again, this may be you know, a part of the religious motivation behind this entire conflict. And look at this woman bathing in fire. That's holy fire that they'd rather not have occur.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Hello, welcome to the Alex Jones Show. Alex, this is Patrick Byrne. Alex is scraping the bottom of the barrel today when it comes to guest hosts. This is my first time guest hosting, but I've been on enough times. I assume, you know, I'm not going to introduce myself too much. I do have two subjects to discuss with you today. One is I'm going to be talking about Israel, and it's about time we get in some inside baseball on Israel. I'm afraid that we got to get more granular when we discuss some of the events going on. And secondly, we're going to be talking about a letter that a lawyer wrote on Monday to the president was, and my understanding is that I can say it was delivered to the president. He has read it, a letter from Tom Carroll discussing really a national security emergency based on a lie that has been exposed in a series of depositions. And I'll be walking you through those. And then if I can get through these quickly enough, I will be going to, questions. You can do some call-ins. The number is 512-646-1776. That's 1776. Okay, so that's 512-646-1776. Feel free to call in at the end of the show. So I'm going to rush through some, well, I'll move briskly through some slides. And I want to talk to you about, first on the subject of Israel, a really important news story has broken in Israel. Darius, could you bring that up, please, that first screenshot of the Israeli newspaper story? The headline. Ehud Barak's web of deception over Epstein ties unravels. The U.S. Department of Justice files debunk a conspiracy theory that sought to link Epstein to Mossad. Look, I've been on talking about it. Talking about, I was about both Epstein invited me to come to his island and just before he got arrested, and I knew it was a setup and I contemplated doing the right thing, which I thought was probably to go and murder Jeffrey Epstein, but it turned out there were too many cameras and stuff, so I didn't go. And then later being told about what it was about. Anyway, what's important about this recent newspaper story is it tells the following story. This is really news breaking. This is not getting viral, but people who know about this story. It's a really key story. First thing you need to know is Israel has four branches of government, you know, the executive, judicial, legislature, and the investigative branch. They have an investigative branch. And in 2008, it turns out that Ehud Barak, you have to understand, like, the Barack Obama of Israel is a guy named Ehud Barak, progressive, hardcore left. Ehud Barak was becoming Minister of Defense. Well, the chief investigator of Israel got in a big snit at Ehud Barak over the following situation. There was a corporation that Ehud Barak had that he gave to his daughters just before he became the Minister of Defense. That corporation was a Delaware corporation called Barak and Associates. And it and Jeffrey Epstein seem to have had a lot to do with each other. And this is all revealed. Go ahead and drop in. I've sent you. So this ties, This is this is Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer, Richard Kahn, writing to Jeffrey Epstein, telling him, warning him that over in Israel, a politician who was in jail, a guy named Olmert, a lot of their politicians go to jail for corruption and stuff. Guy who was in jail for taking bribes, sent Epstein an alert. And the alert was that Olmert was considering, he was threatening to testify there in prison. He was starting to make noises about, if I have to do much time, I'm going to start talking about the bribes Ehud Barak was taking. Well, Ehud Barak, well, the reason that Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer was alerting him, warning him that Olmert might start talking about Ehud Barak, I don't think these are a lot of Hebrew names, but Ehud Barak's bribes, is because that was Jeffrey Epstein and Ehud Barak through this company called Barak Associates in Delaware, which they, in 2008, when Jeffrey Epstein got arrested, but just before he went to prison, the chief investigator of Israel wanted to dig into this country, into this company. And why does the Ministry of Defense, why did he have a company that is just before he, a few days before he becomes minister, he gives it to his two daughters and steps out, and what's behind it and such. And they could tell that a lot of money had come in and out, done a bunch of things. Now, just remember, Jeffrey Epstein was an arms dealer as well as a human trafficker and everything else. So who knows what kind of dirty money was going in there and being split between Ehud Barak and Jeffrey Epstein. Basically, so this is really a bombshell, and you should look up that story. You should look up that story, that headline that Alex's people put up a moment ago. There's another email. This is besides that email. Why don't you put up the other email from Jeffrey Epstein's files that tie him? The key message is, it's not enough to say, okay, this one. This ties him. Now here's a blast from the past. This ties him to Mark Rich. What you're going to learn eventually is there was a deep state connection between the Israeli deep state and the U.S. deep state, which is to say the Clinton and then Obama world. And that Mark Rich was kind of the architect, or he built an infrastructure between those two, which is why he paid a bribe to, on the last day of the Clintons, Bill Clinton pardoned like this fugitive financier who was living in Zug, Switzerland. He has since passed. So he built an architecture. He made sure that Ehud Barak always won elections and that the Clintons always won elections in the 90s. He was the big, almost like the Soros, the big funder back then of those two camps. And he was the architecture of that webbing. And here he's right. Jeffrey Epstein is saying that Denise, that's Mark Richard's wife, Rich's wife, Denise, needs to pledge $500,000 to join this. Blah, blah. So he's tied. He basically inherited the Mark Rich infrastructure that connects the two deep states. That's who he really is. And what putting these different things together, what that actually says, look, it's natural as hell to say this is a Mossad. This is a Mossad operation. It wasn't a Mossad operation. If it were a Mossad operation, the chief investigator, what happened was, by the way, the chief investigator wrote a report and it went to the judicial branch and it just died because the judicial branch, as I've explained, the Supreme Court of Israel is 88 Supreme Court justices in history and 87 have been white Ashkenazi Jews who are about, it used to be 33, now we're about 45% of the population. But basically there was kind of a snob, working class thing, almost like a despicables, or what would it, deplorables and the snobs thing. And the Supreme Court is always looking down. That's really the source of this big fight going on now with Netanyahu. So what it's been natural for all of us to link and Jeffrey Epstein to Mossad. And listen, I got thrown out of Israel the last time I was there because they found out I was running a hacking operation. So I don't have any, there's no love lost between me and the Israelis, but I was hacking into Venezuela. I think I've told that story, but without giving the country before, it was Venezuela. I'll tell you if I have time, the story of how I got thrown out. Anyway, the point is this information, these emails and this newspaper story link Ehud Barak and Jeffrey Epstein. The link isn't to the Mossad. If it were the Mossad, the chief investigator wouldn't have been able to, this is a long way of saying, if that had been the Mossad, he'd never been able to investigate. And that newspaper story is breaking, and the smart people are reading it, believe me. And there's a lot of information. It's this, his ties, his web of deception with Ehud Barak is what's getting exposed. It's in the Epstein file. So I was just showing you different photos that document that. And that's why his lawyer was warning him that Olmert was saying he's going to start talking about Ehud Barak. Okay, so that's subject number one. There was a lot of names, a lot of Israeli names. And anything I say, when people say you're really carrying water for this, that, and the other guy, I'm not carrying water for nobody. I'm just about the truth. I'm just let the chips fall where they may. I can tell you I was thrown out of Israel the last time I was there. I haven't been back. So there's no love lost between me and them. But that's a different story. If you want, you can call in. I'll give you that. Okay. The second thing I wanted to talk about, so if I get through this in 13 minutes, we'll be able to use the whole second 24-minute section on call-ins. The second thing is a lawyer in Pennsylvania named Tom Carroll, 67-year-old fellow, country lawyer, got involved, took somebody's case regarding election integrity back when no one knew that was a crime against, you know, nature or in mankind or something. And on Monday, a letter from him was put in the hands of the president. Let's go to that letter. And what this letter says is two things. Something has been revealed, and because it's been revealed, it's time to call in the Department of War. This is no longer about, okay. And if we want to do some close-ups, we can read the two or three central paragraphs that say what needs to be said. Yeah, thanks. A grand juror asked Coomer if he rigged the 2020 elections, and Coomer, this is the second paragraph, and Coomer said that he did not. But Coomer has now admitted that Dominion had remote access to the election equipment during elections, including access to the tallies. Because of this, the whole house of cards crumbles. The whole house of cards crumbles that we've been listening to for 6 years. The whole intellectual house of cards crumbles. Let's cut from this camera this now, and I'll show you what I mean. We're going to talk about what in – go ahead and put up – I've also sent – Darius, some pages from a transcript. So we're going to walk through this transcript. Don't advance. I'll let you know when to advance the page. This was from 2022 when Eric Coomer, now Eric Coomer was a Berkeley PhD, Antifa hard left guy. I won't go into his personal, but it's somewhat unsavory. But you know, judge not lest he be judged. That kind of guy. But in 2005, he suddenly became the head of product strategy of a company. Anyway, he ends up as basically the CTO of Dominion, as far as we can find one. In 2022, he was deposed by a grand jury in Georgia. And in that testimony, they asked him, let's go ahead and scroll forward now. They asked him, we're going to be looking for the yellow highlighting. They say, one juror asks, I'm going to ask you, did you rig the election? He says, no, I did not, nor could I have been able to. Key. Nor could I have been able to. And that's because, as they insisted publicly, there's no connectivity, so on and so forth, so forth. Go, scroll forward. Scroll forward to the next yellow, please. Okay, so stop. Just stop there. Stop. And so if we even continued reading more of that transcript, it's about how they don't have connections. There's no VPN to nothing. You can even scroll back if you want, Darius. Scroll back into that previous transcript. Read me. My bad. I've confused you. But there's more information in there. Yes, there. Let's go back to page two of this. Please go to the next page. Oh, no. I'm sorry. Stop. Okay, let's just stop here for a second. So in that, it first want to nail down mentally, in 2022, talking to a Georgia grand jury, he says, not only did I rig the election, I couldn't have, and then it goes on for this long paragraph about all the ways that we couldn't have, because everything gets shipped to the counties, and they run the elections, and blah, 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 and there's no connectivity. Based on that testimony, 19 people got indicted. And that testimony is consistent with what CEO John Paulson, John Polis was giving up in Michigan and to Arizona and so on and so forth, that there's no connectivity. These machines aren't connected to anything. And based on that, all these judges threw everything out, so on and so forth. And nothing ever went anywhere. And it was all deemed having been adjudicated, because for 2 days, they listened to those guys tell that, you know, tell that story. And the story that you just saw, I gave you the deposition from 2022. And in fact, President Trump and 18 other people were indicted because the CTO, chief product officer, told that story. Now, he sued me and has wound its way through the courts for 5 years, and we're now in Tampa. And on January 27th, he's supposed to show up in Tampa in a Marriott conference room and be deposed. He comes with a lawyer. We've covered this on Alex before. They come, they're actually step outside in the hallway. I hear someone, they're overheard in the lobby saying, we got to keep this. He's saying this can't go forward. We got to find some way to stop it. And 10 seconds later, this lawyer kind of gooned my 80-year-old lawyer to my, anyway, we've walked through those videos before. It's quite something. And see, he pushed my lawyer around. So I pushed him, and I was being a crybully about it. So anyway, in that deposition that subsequently was allowed to go forward, Coomer discusses the point where he was working on a remote desktop, choosing options, and let's say running a report on the central server on a remote desktop environment. Well, we had a room full of technologists during our deposition as feeding the lawyer questions, so there was no way he could BS his way out of it. And in that, he describes things like this. Let's keep going forward. Can you tell me what the modalities are in this case? Probably would have been mostly the reporting systems. Let's go forward to the next. So you're saying the VPN is programmed to transmit information. Well, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, help me here because again, we're specifically talking about the backup VPN. Keep going. Okay. So the issue is, he ends up confessing, okay, there were remote desktops, but those were direct as far as my understanding of the implementation. Scroll up a little bit, please. There were remote desktops, but those were direct as far as my understanding of the implementation. There were remote desktops, just like at the city warehouse, and they were direct fiber lines from the city house to the central office. That completely blows up the whole story. He's now acknowledging that he was on the machines during the election of 2020 on a remote desktop, which is what I've been telling you for a year and a half. I've been talking about there's been this virtual machine created inside the system that they do all their shenanigans from, and then they poof, they erase it. And that's why there's almost no trace of anything unless you get the hard drive itself. Can you find, in certain, if you look in the right places, the traces that show that that's what happened? That's why all the legal battles were about preventing anyone from inspecting the equipment. So that's a huge bombshell. The significance of that is on 2022 and elsewhere in this, he talks about Serbia. He's talking about the folks in Serbia accessing the code. He's accessing the Dominion systems. Oh, but he says they just get the code repository. Well, I'm telling you, that's a flat lie. They get access to the whole system, including the remote desktops on the machines where in the counties where you're voting. This blows a hole in the waterline of what you've been hearing for 5 years and 3 months, that these things aren't connected. They can't be connected. Even Dominion couldn't interfere in the election. They don't have any connectivity. It's all a lie. They have connectivity. They're on the machines once you're inside the system, whether it be in the city warehouse or anywhere within the network, you're within the network. So it's all been a lie. When faced in a deposition with his own emails and stuff, he sat there and he acknowledged, yes, I had VPN access to these machines. He goes on to describe the second VPN network, the secret one, which we knew about, that there was a secret one. Let's scroll forward for more yellow text. This is a bombshell. You folks Alex, you should post this on your site for people. Who would have been responsible for setting it up so that it could be accessed? It depends. Sometimes the jurisdiction would be fully in charge of the implementation. Sometimes there were Dominion operational staff that would assist with that. That was sometimes Ronald Morales' job, was to help in the installs. Okay, this name Ronald Morales is one that's going to go down in American history, you know, like with Goering or Stalin or something. Ronald Morales is a Venezuelan software developer who came to the United States in like 2006, sent by Hugo Chavez. Ronald Morales is the master elections, master thief of elections. And remember, Smartmatic is now under indictment. The DOJ's indicted. I'm just not making this up. Well, this guy, by, you know, you see him pop up different places, run the elections here. Then he became part of the EAC. Then he was sent, he's running elections somewhere else. So anyway, it's funny that one cornered Coomer and Morales have been together with different titles since the Sequoia days. If you've been paying attention, this Venezuelan mafia created this election system so they could never be kicked out of power, so they could keep looting the largest oil reserves in the world. They eventually commercialized that as a company called Smartmatic. Smartmatic came to the States. It eventually bought an American company called Sequoia. It buried its junk technology in Sequoia, spun it off, and Dominion bought it. Dominion was nothing. It bought it, and it bought a machine company out of Diebold, and it created the Dominion system that we know about. That was all, it's all the Venezuelan mafia is behind it all. That's the subject of, and now he's saying, when cornered, he's saying, don't talk to me, talk to Ronald Morales. And this is what they all do. I can't say too much about the depositions, but I can say you catch these guys in depositions and all they want to tell you is from the folks from Dominion itself, all they say is, don't ask me, ask the folks back in Serbia. Well, aren't you the head of marketing? Well, yeah, but really that marketing decision was made back in Serbia. No one even knew that there was a Serbian component to me. It's really the headquarters. The U.S. is a fake. It's just a front. So all the decisions are made in Serbia. It's been run, your elections have been run out of Serbia on Huawei machines. So if you want to call in, we'll talk about this in a few minutes. Call 512-646-1776. So again, the two subjects are some bombshell information from Israel, and you should really understand this. Don't be more granular when you talk about Israel. Maybe we should be more granular when we talk about Jewish people too. I've quoted before the line of Isaiah Berlin, a Russian philosopher who taught philosophy at Oxford for about 105 years. He was Jewish, a Jewish immigrant. No, but he taught for like 75 years. And he said an anti-Semite is somebody who dislikes Jews more than is absolutely necessary. Sometimes I'm watching the conservative movement or whatever, the truth movement, and saying, people are starting to dislike Jews more than is absolutely necessary. And particularly when you talk about Israel and when you talk about the Jewish people, you should be more granular. I agree. There turn out to be some unsavory types, the Epstein class. But and when we talk about Israel, you're going to find it isn't that Epstein was working for Israel or even working for the Mossad. Listen, if he were working for the Mossad, this chief investigator of Israel would never have been able to touch him. It was that he had something going with the Minister of Defense, Ehud Barak. By the way, right before he went into prison, Jeffrey Epstein took a visit to Israel. And 24 hours before he visited, this company, Barak and Associates, back in Delaware, disappeared. It dissolved itself. Then he went to Israel. And I've been in contact with some people in Israel trying to retrace his route. In Israel, he went in as a fake society, well, not a real society called Friends of Israel IDF, which is what it sounds like. He gave $5,000 to it once, but it lets him act like he's a big mocker. And he went and he visited Israeli air bases, military bases, without the normal protocol. The only guy who could have done that was the Minister of Defense, Ehud Barak. Summary, Jeffrey Epstein is tied to a guy named Ehud Barak, the deep stater of Israel. Okay, more coming back in a few minutes. Thank you very much. It's great to be on the Alex Jones Show. Looking forward to your questions.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultra methylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue Tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operation. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got four bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Hello, Patrick Byrne here, guest hosting on, I don't know why my mirrors are camera self-adjusting like this. Guest hosting on Alex Jones. Who would have thought? Feel free to give a call. The number is 512-646-1776. The two subjects I've discussed, one is some important news out of Israel that we, if you're following the Epstein thing and you really want to get to the roots of what's going on, check this. And then secondly is legal letter that the president was delivered, I was told yesterday, from a lawyer in Pennsylvania who points out an extraordinary contradiction between two testimonies given under oath by the same guy, the national security implications thereof, and really a demand that this should just, everything about elections needs to be moved into the Department of War at this point, given what's been revealed. And then I walked through some screenshots of the deposition. I didn't want to get all Perry Mason on you, but it's really problematic what the guy revealed. It's completely antithetical. Anyway, so let's go to questions. I hear somebody's calling. You've got a whole bunch of people on the line. So, Derek, go ahead. Let's go to Collins.
Hello?
Hello, who am I on with?
Okay, Patrick. Hey, this is Owl Killer. You know, I originally called in about the Iran war, but I really want to stay on the Epstein, Ehud, Barak topic, because something that nobody is talking about, there's a three-hour conversation for whatever reason that's recorded between the two. Now, I agree with you. I don't think Epstein was Mossad. He's above Mossad. And the reason we know that he is above Mossad is because it's in the Bannon interview. He was handpicked to be on the Trilateral Commission by David Rockefeller, and they tell governments what to do. I'm an expert on body language. That was my career. Tucker Carlson is clearly disturbed when he says that this is a supranational entity that acts above government. When referring to what came out with Epstein being on the Trilateral Commission, talking about the fractional reserve banking and everything. In the Ehud Barak interview, he says we, referring to Israel. Epstein says we, talking to Ehud Barak, have a demographic issue, and that all the wrong people are having children, talking about, and he specifically mentions the Orthodox and the Arabs, and there's going to be some event that happens, probably with Iran. He refers to that. So at the end of the day, we see all the intelligence agencies, they are the henchmen for the financial elite. They need to get information ahead of time, and it's always been like that. The Rothschilds, they make their fortune off of knowing information before the public knew it. It goes all the way back to the Battle of Waterloo. And that's why intelligence agencies were created. Same thing why you would send the Red Cross or missionaries into an area. You want to know what's going on ahead of time so that you, from a military standpoint. That's the whole point. That intelligence agencies, if you ever watch the movie The Good Shepherd, it literally comes out of, the OSS literally comes out of Yale and the banking society. And then that morphs into the CIA following World War II. So that's really what it is, and at the end of the day, that's what it's come down to. Now, for people that are unaware, there's a great journalist, unfortunately, has had several strokes by the name of Lee Stranahan. He figured out in probably 2014, 2015.
Let me respond to the first point. Rather, I don't think you should orate quite at length like you are. I don't mind if you have a lengthy question, but come on, this is getting a little bit. Can I just go to answering your first point?
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead and make it your second point short, though. Don't just take over the whole show.
It's not a nation thing. It's not a intelligence agency thing. It's a big time financial thing. And at the end of the day, it is the central bankers calling the shots. And Epstein represented himself as the Rothschilds person that you needed to communicate with. I think we've been going around in circles for decades in the truth movement, and it's right back to where it originally started. It's the central banks. That's my first point.
Well, I'm not sure that's your first point. I think that's your second point. Okay, that's your final point. Thank you very much. Can I address these two points? And we got a whole bunch of other callers I got to think about too. Thank you very much. I think that it's funny. I first sort of got known as a guy fighting Wall Street at one point. And I became convinced in time that we have an oligarchy taking over the United States that has I've more in the last 5 years come to understand we really have an oligarchy trying to take over. I mean, that has taken over. It's got two wings, the financial industry and the deep state. However, that surfaces in different domains. The Clintons are, the Clintons were tied to this guy, Mark Rich, And Mark Rich was the connective tissue to the Israeli deep state. There is a group in Israel that he wanted to make sure was always elected. So just think of it as like distinguishing between the CIA and Barack Obama. Well, who knows if there was any separation now. But theoretically, a former president. Anyway, there's this guy, Ehud Barak, this very corrupt individual in Israel. Hard left, progressive left, as corrupt as all the other progressives are turning out to be, such old talk. And he was in business with Jeffrey Epstein, and it is quite likely, I was told that Epstein was put in business in order to manufacture Red Sparrows, and that they wanted white women, that they, and like you said, that's what, they had this weird facet, well, they're racist as hell. I mean, their emails show, God, the same guys who would in a business setting in America, or an incident in America, hold themselves with great sanctimony about, you know, their compare and compassion and how above racism they are. Does that in private. They're racist as hell. They're worse than Archie Bunker. They're terrible. And, you know, they didn't do any of their pedophile cannibalism to, Jewish girls. They do it to Gentile girls. And you see him, right? He wanted, you know, I mean, who was going to do it? So they did have this thing about, white women. And the caller's point was, yes, there's emails in there saying that they were discussing getting a lot more European Jewish, that's the Ashkenazi Jew, to move to Israel, and not, they don't like the Orthodox, and they certainly don't like the Arabs. Okay. Let's go to the next point. The next caller, please, Darius. Do we still have Catherine in Missouri?
Yes.
Go ahead, Catherine.
I would like to know if or when anything is going to be done. When are the indictments going to come down? On both of the topics you're discussing, irrefutable proof that not only there are guilty parties, but who is guilty, and nothing is being done. Is anything ever going to be done?
I do think something's going to be done, because we now have documentary proof. This is the tension. This is where the tension is in Washington, D.C. Tulsi Gabbard and company got in, and they did a big review of the election equipment. And I'm sorry, are you talking about the election stuff, or are you talking about the Epstein stuff, Catherine?
Both. I think there's no doubt in both of the instances that there's a lot of guilty people. Is our system just so corrupt that there isn't anybody up there honest enough and brave enough to take them on?
It's not a matter of bravery. That people get, I mean, it's, there's kind of like Ed Martin. Ed Martin is true blue. I promise, I've got to know him over the last 4 years. He was living in Florida, and when I was in Florida, I met him a bunch of times. True blue. He got appointed to the state, to the DOJ, and he was supposed to be looking into weaponization. He got the wheel shot out from under his vehicle, so to speak. He had no budget, couldn't hire anybody, not sure even had a secretary. So he had this title, but couldn't actually do anything. And then the DC bar has gone after him for some imaginary offense, so he's going to lose. They're trying to send it. The Bolsheviks are trying to send a signal that any lawyer who picks up a pen to try to do anything is going to lose their bar license. Like this Tom Carroll. They're coming after Tom Carroll. Tom Carroll took a case in Pennsylvania of a county. I mean, no one knew that this was a thought crime or a crime against humanity back 5 years ago. Some county wanted to file some suit. And he took a case, and he's not some big activist or anything. He's a nice guy. I think he's a widower. And he was a lawyer who took a case. Suddenly the world comes down on him. And even though he just did what any lawyer is supposed to do, and the county had the right, the county owned, I won't go into the details, but the county had the right to hire a lawyer to look into something, and they did. So what's the, so they're going after his bar license. But now, this revelation from the Dominion CTO is the game changer, because we've known it. We've known it because, as you know, if you've been following me, I've been living abroad with the people who actually wrote this code. And I've been known for years that this was all garbage code set up so people could hack it. But now it has been admitted by the CTO that, yes, I had live access to the machines in the after they'd been shipped in the counties in election 2020. I had live access to them and can go on remote desktop. Now, if he also wants to say, but I only went on remote. Oh, he even says there's another line in there where he says he just basically says, well, I could have, but of course I never would. Trust me, I never would have done that. There's another little yellow in the transcript that says that. So they've gone from saying it. Just remember why that's so important is what he told in Georgia 2022, that lie got, which is the same lie that the CEO Paulson told to the Michigan legislature when he went up there to the Senate. He said, these things aren't connected to anything. They're all completely isolated, air gapped. Nobody, there's no way to even, the air gap. Well, that all turns out to be a lie. Their definition of air gap, which normally means something is not, has no computer on the system, has any connection to the internet, turns out their definition is, well, yeah, we do have cellular modems in them and they do connect through cell towers, but it's through this system that we think is secure because we trust my, I mean, it's a silly answer and it isn't in the least secure. They make it insecure. So they've, But they were telling this lie, and on their testimony is what not only did 60 cases, really, you know, that's always been a lie, first of all. It's never been 60 cases. There were 93 cases. 32 of them went forward. 61 of them got thrown out by the judges. They got thrown out by the judges because of the lie the CEO and the CTO told, now documented by the contradictory evidence the guy's been forced to give. By the way, the 32 cases that did go forward, 24 of them went to the Republican side. Yeah, 75% of them went Republican. In all these little cases across the country, they actually, the ones that actually went forward and people looked at evidence, 75% went to Trump or the Republicans in these different cases. But 61 of them just got thrown out. They got thrown out because the company's CEO and CTO were saying things like, these things are completely air-gapped, they're isolated, nobody can log on to anything. Well, it turns out in his testimony, no, they're completely, their definition of air gap, which they've had to come up with, I never heard of, is that it's on a system they've acknowledged, yes, this thing all connects up through cellular modems and it turns out, as I've explained before, to be really rather easy if you can get onto the system. They leave the password in the open in a way, if you know where to look for it, so anyone can log onto the system. So, okay. So when's something going to be done? That's not my department, but I do know that Tulsi looked at all this and Tulsi wrote a classified report in July of 2025. Tulsi, like Madonna, she's become a brand name. Tulsi wrote a classified report that tells you, that confirms the whole story about Venezuela, about the origin of this stuff in Venezuela, and so on and so forth. And this election, the election 2020 and everything. Then, and also has a chapter that says, you know, an opening chapter that says, we did analysis of the election equipment. And yes, it turns out they were filled with holes so they can be manipulated. Then the history of the holes and the whole history of this project and that it was in fact used. This other part has all been classified. So they need to unclassify that, I believe. I have not been involved in the preparation. Listen, I'm one step ahead. No one has to figure out what to do about me yet. But they hired a company, paid $50 million to come in and look at everything that we had and all the Venezuelan engineers and everything they were able to show. They had written and show them all the cheats. And then they wrote a $50 million report that said, yeah, Byrne is right. And then the DNI wrote a bigger report that really tells the whole history and says, I mean, they don't say Byrne is right. They say, we looked into these machines and we discovered this, this, and that. Okay, let me tell you, they had the 15 Venezuelan engineers who wrote much of the code sitting there for months explaining it all to the federal government. That's how they cracked this caper. So sorry to sound sore about that. So anyway, they've been sitting there since July, and I don't think they can declassify it because the public will go nuts. If the current support for the SAVE Act is 84%, well, there's apparently six for 16% of Americans who have their head, you know, buried in the sand. So that nothing will convince them. But most people are going to realize the SAVE Act isn't enough. There's no way to do anything on these we have to do the SAVE Act plus. We got to run an election just like, this is the key. We have to run an election just like we teach other countries to run. There's all these principles, and we are the only country in 150 democracies that ignore them. And we ought to run a clean election by the same principles we teach the rest of the world, which means no machines. Okay. I can't tell you when Trump is going to do something. He's up against a tremendous swamp who is stopping him from doing the right things. Yeah, it's really bad. And I'll tell you, I didn't send you there's another Wall Street Journal wrote I should have sent you this. I'm going to send you another little, graphic in a moment. Darius, that the Wall Street Journal did a story the other day on basically the swamp that is getting around the Trumps. And it's really bad. There's a swamp. Did I send that to you a few days ago, Darius? No. Well, I'm going to send you something right now that you ought to put on screen. That this just appeared in, bam, that this just appeared in the Wall Street Journal. So these are a bunch of names. If you've been following me, you'll know these names. These are what I've been telling you. It's the oil company of Venezuela, Chevron, Citgo, and Ballard Associates. Ballard Associates is a big Florida. It's the big chief lobbyist in Florida, and Susie Wiles, and, you know, God bless her. She just got a breast cancer diagnosis. Susie Wiles, as well as, Pam Bondi come from Ballard. In fact, Pam Bondi, now I do understand Susie Wiles hates Ballard, that like left with hard feelings 6 years ago. Pam Bondi worked at Ballard until last February, until she became the Attorney General of the United States. So Ballard is all around, and the CIA, Chevron, by the way, Chevron has been the face of the CIA. Venezuela, the whole Venezuela cartel turns out to have been two asses and one pair of underwear with the CIA all along. It's might even have been a creation of the CIA. But this whole election software and stuff, they've known about since I've been on previous Alex Jones shows. I've walked through CEPS, C-E-P-P-S, an organization started by USAID, funded by USAID and staffed by Soros, an NGO in Alexandria that spread this junk Venezuelan technology into 32 countries. And who all of them had then these surprising elections, these strange elections where people stopped counting and things shifted hard unexpectedly. So they have to run one clean election. That's the real thing he has to do. And then let's then back into, we should say, we're going to run this November election clean. We're going to use national executive authority to make sure, you know, because there isn't the public has lost trust in the system. 66% of people now believe that cheating played a role in Biden's election in 2020, according to Rasmussen. People have lost trust in the system. Now, we all know why, because they should lose trust, because it's corrupt as hell. When you have people putting pizza up over observation stations, that pizza board up and stuff, do not give us. The whole theory of election that we teach the rest of the world is an election without transparency has zero reliability. That we're not, so citizens aren't supposed to have to say to any, oh, trust some public official, trust some corporate CEO. It's all supposed to be transparent. And there's transparent ways to run election, and we've gotten far away from it. And that's what he really has to do. And then he ought to say, set that in stone, and then say, what do we have to do to make that happen? But now there's a mountain of evidence that would justify him based on foreign involvement in our elections alone. In fact, they just released in the last couple of days, China's been hacking our voter rolls. Why that's so important is before you stuff a ballot box, you need to stuff the voter rolls. Especially in these modern elections, the way the systems work. Now they've just announced that there's been Chinese involvement in the voter rolls. So based on these kinds of things, they have to declare some kind of national emergency. And first they should pass the SAVE Act and then do more. And that's the most important thing he can do to save our republic. And everything else is some local skirmishes. Even to me, the Epstein stuff is not as important, as ugly as it is, to realize we have a bunch of pedophile cannibals as our among our elites worldwide. And I've been told that it's 3,500 people. 3,500 people worldwide, be they bankers, be they royalty, be they Hollywood, be they, you know, polite society types, be they EU regulators, whatever, they've been compromised. Some of them knew that to get ahead, they had to let themselves be compromised. So they've been compromised eating baby brains or sex with children, which turns out to be some insane thing that people do. When I first learned when I was a kid in some Columbo episode, I think I had a subject and my parents kind of explained it. I was about 11. I got the impression there were maybe at any one time four dirty old men around the country who sent each other grainy black and white photos. I didn't get, it's an industry. It's a real industry. It's not just the porn side. I mean, look at the Epstein stuff. We have pedophile cannibals in positions of power and enablers and people who think it's normal, people who normalize it, who went along with it, who opened bank accounts for them, who did wire transactions for them, et cetera. But the most important thing Trump needs to do is fix the elections. And the best ways to get there is a SAVE Act to get as much done as he can. And then, but we have to act on these machines. Nothing can be, the bad guys that we've been fighting are now trying to sell the public this new line that, oh, the machines have been fixed. There's some way there's a new brand of machine called Liberty that is, no, Liberty is the same dog food. It's the same. They've just changed the labels. They just, it's a big swap-roo. It's nothing. This stuff is architected to be flawed. So we cannot, and what's happening is they want, you can almost say the bad Republicans want, instead of getting the problem really cleaned up, they use it now to cheat to stay in power. But it isn't really that. It's really the uniparty. The establishment does not want to clean up the machine problem. They want to use it so they can stay in power. And the people want to have clean elections. It's really this uniparty. So they're fighting the SAVE Act, and they will, of course, fight like hell. Well, they already are fighting to keep the machines. Just the same people who are fighting to keep cartel light running Venezuela are the people fighting to keep the machines in place in the USA. I'm sorry I went on too long and perorated, but let's I got 1 minute to do one last quickie. Thank you. Oh, should I even try to do another question? No, probably not.
Hey.
Probably let's go ahead. So in sum, I've had to fill you in on Israel. People should start remembering this name, Ehud Barak. That's what it's about. It's not about Israel. It's not about Mossad. It's about Ehud Barak. And secondly, this information is momentous that has come forward, and they apparently made a mistake or whatever. Anyway, on Monday, we got the documents, and the redactions have been made, and the redactions do not include this stuff. So it's legal for us to expose it, make it public. And let me tell you, it's just the beginning. They've been lying all along. They've been lying all along. I know from my D.C. lawsuit, without going into it, they've been lying all along. They all know that their elections, our elections, are really run out of Belgrade, Serbia, on Chinese equipment called Huawei. It's an honor, been an honor to be on my first Alex Jones Show as host. Thank you very much.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdowns. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You know, these revelations of that elites at a very high level, and we actually know the basic number of them as well, are doing human trafficking, human rape, and human sacrificing of children because they're the closest to God. And when I read this, I mean, it's unthinkable. Like, you don't want to believe it. And so I mention it on Joe Rogan, but I also mentioned that I was starting an AI company. And what shocked me is after the show, more people wanted to talk about the AI thing and more people were upset about, you know, that I was starting an AI company than they were about, you know, this nightmare of elites eating babies.
It's the first time since 2012. First time since 2012 that there are no British actors nominated for Best Actor or Best Actress. Yeah. British spokesperson said, yeah, well, at least we arrest our pedophiles. So, we got that going.
And so then I started thinking about why is this happening? We've seen people who have spoken about it, who have, you know, who have participated in it and who have left, you know, it's an initiation that you go through to become, it's a confidence initiation that you go through to become part of a team. And that's when I realized that this is not something that's unique to the elites, that human nature involves these kinds of hazing initiations, or else we wouldn't see it happening since childhood.
Andrew Breitbart, I'm quoting you, in a newspaper interview he gave last year discussing the people who run Hollywood, quote,
uh-oh,
yes, quote, I'm telling you, they're uninteresting, they're vicious, they're vitriolic, they're really, really not good people, and I'm willing to say that on the record, close quote. Is there any of that you regret?
No.
What makes them really, really not good people?
Well, I'm not saying the entirety, but the ones who have controlled Hollywood for the last 40 years, that quote could be attributed to the campus left as well. It could be attributed to people who are in charge in Venezuela right now. Anywhere where the left gets control, you start to see political correctness run amok. You start seeing dissenting views quashed. They use projection right before they do so. They start attacking the people that they're about to go after of being guilty of the very things that they do.
And lesser magic, which the Satanists do, they'll tell you, they show the thing in play before they do. They believe it makes it happen and it gives it more power once they do it. And then you have the Podesta plan that if Trump won, they would actually do this and have the military turn against Trump, but now they've tried it. It's not an endorsement of Trump. He's doing some things I don't like right now. The point is they are literally pre-programming this and admitting it.
Yeah, and they're willing it into happening, and they're showing everyone an example of what it would be. So that, again, the revelation of the method, you see what's there, and it makes it okay for it to happen. And it's a form of, also of predictive programming. And
you started it on the show, but then I do it too. He cut you off on another subject. Elaborate, because I've studied the Graham Grimoires, Black Magic, all that stuff to understand these people. They talk about, you have to show them, you have to tell them, that's a metaphysical rule. It also gets them ready. And then it makes it even more powerful when you actually do it. And then you realize that they're doing this. Speak to that if you can.
Well, we live in a universe of mind. And, the one thing I've started to realize is that these kind of forms of spells, this magic is real. When you believe something enough, you create a reality.
Yeah, we call it a spell. What it is a narrative to control your mind, and we can build incredible things. So it's a program.
It is a program. You select it, you project it, you expect it, and then you collect it. It's the spec method, and it actually works. And so people who are using it for, you know, there's good spells and bad spells, and there's spells that are promoting humanity, and then there's spells that are disintegrating humanity. When people are, doing sacrifice.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control, but because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore, but the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Well, hello, InfoWars Nation. This is the week of guest hosts, so I hope I can fill the big shoes that have come before me. Patrick Byrne, Harrison, of course, Mike Adams yesterday. I thought that segment was just astounding, breaking down all of the supply chain problems that are coming out of this fiasco. Not just the oil cutoff, but all the other critical elements and chemicals that are no longer going to be going to the factories around the world, you know, to produce what we need, including the fertilizer that won't be making next year's crop of food. As he pointed out, right now and for the next few months, we're eating 2025's harvest. But 2026's harvest is going to be very underweight. And this might not be a huge factor in the United States, just like with gasoline. It goes up to $4, $5, $6 a gallon. We'll bitch and moan, but we'll survive. But countries like Sri Lanka, or, you know, India, Malaysia, Nigeria, some of these countries are going to be absolutely thrown into chaos and, you know, possibly widespread famine, which, as Michael Yan always says, pandemic, famine, and war. They're like the three horsemen, with the fourth horseman being death that comes out of pandemic, famine, and war. So we've got the war, and we're building up towards the famine. And what is going to happen then is more pandemics, because we're going to have mass population movements. When people are starving, they don't tend to just sit in their house quietly. They tend to storm to wherever they think the food is. Could be the next nation, could be the next, you know, the next county over. But I want to start today with I don't think this will be too dry, but I need to start with some history, because one of the big factors, I try mostly on X to get a wide range of opinions and you know, where are people coming from? people I have followed for a long time because they were, I thought they were pretty much MAGA, conservative, pro-military. They have split and forked off from my position over this Iran war. And a lot of it comes down to, where does your history start? Where do you begin the story? You know, if you begin the story of Iran versus America, for example, in October of 1983 in Beirut, if that's your genesis story, then you think that, you know, the president of Iran, you know, personally approved loading a truck bomb that went into the building where Marines were sleeping, incorrectly always called the Marine barracks. It was not. It was actually, they shouldn't have been in there. It was a lapse of discipline that that allowed hundreds of Marines to get out of the cold and the rain by being in the headquarters building, which had actually been Middle East Airlines headquarters. Then it had been PLO headquarters. Then it was a Marine headquarters where there should have been no more than, you know, 20 or 30 people on duty at night. But because it was cold and rainy out in the tents that were literally dug into the ground, dug below ground level because of, you know, indirect mortar fire, things like that, hundreds of them moved into that building and made a very juicy target. So if you start the America-Iran story right then, October of 1983, everything after that you just hate. For example, during what we call Operation Iraqi Freedom, where thousands of Americans died, but actually hundreds of thousands of Iraqis died, a vast number, you know, both from combat collateral damage and from the effects of the disruption of their economy and their, you know, lack of food, disease, et cetera. Hundreds of thousands died in Operation Iraqi Freedom. The Iranians were blamed for introducing something called the explosively formed projectile, sort of like a platter, what we used to call a platter charge. Steel plus high explosive will, you know, jet a formed explosive channel, like a shape charge, that'll go through the side of a tank or other armored personnel carrier. So 200 Americans died there. And that's like for GWAT guys, that's like another reason why I hate Iran. Iranians brought a weapon onto the battlefield that killed Americans. Fair enough, 200. But you have to remember, this was in their neighborhood, right? It wasn't like, you know, we were fighting them in Mexico and Iranians were in Mexico fighting cartel wars or something. We were in their backyard. Anyway, that's the point of view of people like Jim Hansen and Kurt Schlichter and many others who just, their bottom line is Iran sucks. It's a nation of terrorists. And if we have to assassinate every single leader that emerges, that's a good thing to do. All right. Now I want to switch and say, what's the Iranian narrative? Well, the Iranian narrative is that in 1953, they had an elected government and our CIA overthrew him, a guy named Mohammad Mossadegh. We overthrew an the elected government. The British Petroleum and other companies were not happy with him because he wanted the oil revenue to stay inside of Iran and develop Iran and not just be exported to the West. So we took him out and we installed, that was called Operation Ajax. We installed the Shah, who had, you know, it's not like he was the 19th king of the realm. We installed a guy and made him Shah. And that lasted until 1979, when the pressure inside the cooker couldn't withstand it anymore. There were huge, street demonstrations for months and months. The SAVAK, the Iranian secret police under the Shah, couldn't control it. And it's interesting to note that this was what you might call today a red-green alliance, where in that context, red meaning communist and green meaning Islamic. And as soon as this was successful and the Shah fled and his regime fell, then the communists were purged and wiped out. And that just left the Islamic hardliners in charge, and they're still in charge to this day. So there's a lesson for England and other countries where you may find it convenient to get political power with an Islamic left-wing coalition. But if you're ever successful, eventually, you know, the guys that chop heads off tend to win the last debate. That's kind of a truism. So if you think that you are going to use the Islam, you know, the Muslims to ride to power, they're laughing at you behind your back. They're going to ride you to power and then take over completely. Anyway, that 1979 was a huge year of turmoil, obviously, in Iran. We had the Iran hostage crisis in 1979. Jimmy Carter was seen to be very ineffective. Reagan was running for president. 1980 was an election year, and we had the failed Iranian rescue fiasco, where some helicopter and a plane crashed in the desert, and we had to abandon some of our dead and equipment, and it was a very humiliating period in our history. So this is another reason why, you know, guys my age have a bad feeling for Iran, right? We tried to rescue our hostages, and it was a fiasco. Reagan came in, the hostages came out. He threatened to basically carpet bomb Tehran. I think that they knew Carter wasn't going to do anything, and I think they did fear Reagan, but I think that there were also side deals cut that weren't as well publicized. It's kind of like the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1963. We all remember, oh yeah, Kennedy, he was so great. He beat Khrushchev. We got the missiles out of Cuba. Most Americans at the time didn't realize we also took our missiles out of Turkey. There was a quid pro quo. So I think that in 1980, with the hostages being released, the government of Iran, remember, this is a year of total confusion. It's not as if there was an established government with, you know, every form of local control. When the radicals and students took over the embassy, I don't think that was like a top-down command decision. It happened, and they wrote it out for 400 some days. But at the end, Reagan came in, the hostages came out. But what happened then in 1980? It's really interesting, because if you're an Iranian, the date September 22, 1980 is like December 7th, 1941 for Americans, or 9/11, 2001 for Americans. So on September 22, 1980, remember, Iran is still in a very confused state. They've gotten rid of the Shah and his army. They haven't really quite figured out what kind of military they're going to have. And the CIA then sponsored an invasion using our proxy, a guy who was our friend at the time, our ally, our buddy, our pal, Saddam Hussein, invaded Iran, that key part at the bottom where Iran and Iraq join. There's the key waterway, the Shatt al-Arab waterway there, and there are key oil fields and oil infrastructure. So Iraq was going to steal the crown jewels, in a sense, of the oil wealth of Iran with a blitzkrieg across a long front. Iran didn't really have an established military, so they had to figure out how to defend themselves on the fly as they went. They ended up losing hundreds of thousands of people in this war, which went on for 8 years. Okay, this was an 8-year war. Part of it was called the War of the Cities. I think I've got a slide there. That's, let me see, where's that? That's number 5, the War of the Cities. That's when Iraq fired 550 Scud missiles. These have a 1,000-kilogram warhead, randomly into Tehran for months. That was in 1985, part of this war. Another part of this war was the use of poison gas, mustard gas and sarin gas. America and Germany, at our request, supplied Iran with industrial quantities of the precursor chemicals to make sarin gas, poison gas, fired in artillery shells and rockets, warheads. It didn't turn out to be so effective in rockets, but it was used widely in artillery shells. This is part of the origin of the whole WMD thing. We knew that they had poison gas in Iraq, you know, after we went in Operation Iraqi Freedom, because we gave them the chemicals and the know-how to make the poison gas.
most Americans remember later when they used it against the Kurds in their own northeast part of Iraq. But that wasn't the first time they used poison gas. They used it on the Iranians. And the Iranians had to figure out how to stop this offensive where their military was disorganized from a year of revolution. They literally had to use what today you would disparagingly call human wave attacks because they had nothing else. They had people jumping out of trucks being told, you'll find a rifle on the battlefield when you get closer to the shooting. And they went. You know, hundreds of thousands of Iranians died repelling what they see as an American-backed invasion of their country, which included the use of poison gas. And this war went from 1980 to 1988. The Beirut bombing was just like a paragraph in a chapter to the Iranians of this eight-year war. I mean, imagine 500 Scud missiles being fired into, you know, Chicago or New York, or poison gas being used as a country's, as your land border is being invaded. And America is the ones providing the armored vehicles, the poison gas, the artillery shells. So yeah, if the Iranians have a grudge against America and you understand that this is what they're taught in their schools, you know, they're taught that America overthrew their elected government in 1953, right? Sponsored the invasion in 1980 that killed a half a million Iranians or more. This is what their children learn in school. This is like their World War II story. And the men who survived this war say they may even have had poison gas injury. They're now college professors. They're doctors. They're people's parents and uncles. They're in their 60s. They're my age. Those are the men that the young Iranians look up to in terms of, once again, we have to repel the Americans. And this time, they're going to completely wreck our country. They want to turn our country into something like Syria, Libya, Lebanon, Gaza Strip. They know this is an existential fight. The idea that at this point, Iranians are going to rise up against their government is ridiculous. Now, most of Iranians don't love the Basij, militias, but they see their country on the verge of total destruction, where it will be reduced to Mad Max warlord terror state, infighting the way that Syria is today, or Lebanon, right? Or Iraq, for that matter. They want to be a united country still. I mean, Persia has a more than 1,000-year history within essentially the same borders. That it hasn't been like trying to conquer other countries around it. The borders have been very finite. Iran feels like it has plenty of land. You know, if you look at a topographical map of Iran, it's pretty astounding. Like if you took all the mountains in the Rocky Mountains, they wouldn't add up to the mountains inside of Iran. Iran has more mountains over 14,000 feet than we do in the West. They have, their highest mountain is over 18,000 feet in Iran. So the idea that anybody can come in and conquer them is like off the table, crazy, insane. But at the same time, they've got a huge country. They've got timber, everything that they need. Right now, there's a severe drought. It might be being assisted by water cutoffs or weather manipulation, but they still, 80% of their country relies on just ground and rainwater, not desalinization, like the Gulf states rely 90%. 80% of their food is internal. You know, they grow 80% of their own food, which is exact opposite of the Gulf states, which import like 90% of their food. So they're a very secure country in the sense that they don't need to seize other people's assets. They've got the oil. They've got extremely smart engineers. When you think about it, the Russians at the beginning of the Ukraine war, the Russians got an emergency shipment of Shahed drones from Iran because Russia has been helping Iran. Iran reciprocates, sent them Antonov plane loads of Shaheds. The Russians then made their own versions called Geran or Geranium drones, very effective. And now even Uncle Sam is copying the Shaheds and Gerans. Why didn't Lockheed come up with these? Where was Boeing? Where were the American entrepreneurs? So anybody that discounts the Iranians, they pioneered a niche in warfare that's extremely important now. And we're not going to see what some military people call the big arrow movements, the big vectors on the map. There will be no Schwarzkopf tanks rolling across like in Desert Storm. Even the Russians can't do that now. With all their force, the Russians have to fight kilometer by kilometer, village by village, because of the persistent and omnipresent drone threat. If you're exposed in the open and you're in a tank, you're going to be hit. I mean, warfare in Ukraine has evolved down to like men on motorcycles in little groups of twos and threes, assembling and then bursting apart to make less of a target. So the concept of going through the Strait of Hormuz now with ships is total insanity. I mean, we can pulverize Iran. We can kill everybody in Tehran, turn it into a parking lot, one building at a time, like they're doing in Beirut. Whole, 10-story apartment building full of people. American-made 2,000-pound bomb goes through, drops it like it's 9/11 every day. That's what Iran is looking for in the future, and they're not going to surrender. Remember, Tehran is 700 miles north of the Strait of Hormuz. If you nuked Tehran, they wouldn't hear it or see it at the Strait of Hormuz. And the soldiers down there would not surrender, no matter what. There's an interesting comparison. I've been looking at the history of like tunnels in warfare, and I'm going to talk in the next segment about the Japanese in the Pacific campaign tunneling, the Viet Cong in the Vietnam War tunneling to escape from our bombs, and on a much greater scale, Iran today. That they have figured out ways to just avoid our strength, which are the bombs, but they also have something like the Japanese. In World War II, the Japanese had the culture of the code of Bushido. It was a warrior culture where you dedicated yourself to the emperor, and if the emperor said fight to the death, you did it honorably. That's where the kamikaze divine wind came from. They would not, they would rather personally die to be the steering element of a human cruise missile, which was the kamikaze war in 1944-45. Well, the Shia Muslims have much the same. Their entire religion is based on martyrdom. Ali split off from the Sunnis because they refused to go along with the Sunnis on the right of succession of the next leader of Islam, to the point where they martyred themselves rather than agree to obey an appointed Islamic leader as opposed to an heir of Muhammad. That's the split of Shia and Sunni. The Sunnis went with a council of elders would elect the next Islamic leader, and the Shia said no, it has to be a blood heir of Muhammad. They died rather than accept what the Sunnis were demanding. That was the split. That's the schism. And even now, the highest personal sacrifice you can make is to die to protect Islam and essentially protect Persia, your nation. Even in the Vietnam War, we looked at it as we're fighting the communists. Communism's going to take over if we let it have South Vietnam as well as North Vietnam. But in reality, the average grunt, VC or NVA, he didn't care about the politics of it. He was fighting because he was Vietnamese and we weren't. We were there to colonize in their perspective. We were there to colonize and turn it into an economic vassal of America. And we weren't Vietnamese. And that's why they fought. That's how the Iranians feel now. At the end, it's not going to be, do you support the regime or not? It's, are you willing to see our country absolutely wrecked and destroyed by America, which has tried for decades to do this? I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm saying you have to understand the perspective of your enemy, or you have no chance of succeeding in a conflict. No chance at all. And I'm going to look more at the military options and what's available in the next segment when we come back. So I'll see you on the other side of the break.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from TheAlexJonesStore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Matt Bracken.
Okay, in this segment, I want to talk as realistically as I can about what the military options actually are going forward. There's no doubt that Israel and America can continue to drop apartment buildings until, you know, cities look like Gaza. That's pretty much not up for debate. But is that going to end the war? No, because the actual, our Achilles heel, our jugular vein, is the Strait of Hormuz, which, you know, I and others have been writing about for years, that if we go to war with Iran, the world economy is going to crash because we'll have effectively put a tourniquet around our neck, which is also known as hanging yourself. The amount of stupidity that I see mainly in comments on X, which I take as kind of representative when you see like 10% of people have the same kind of idea. Well, we don't need no oil. You know, America is oil independent. So screw the rest of the world. You know, if they all starve in the third world because they didn't get fertilizer, they didn't get oil to run anything, who cares? America will just do fine. You know, this is a really pretty stupid idea because, you know, number one, the entire world is blaming us for this. This is why our NATO partners are saying, hell no, we won't go, to President Trump. This is not a NATO war. Number one, it's nowhere near the North Atlantic, obviously. But we didn't consult them. We did this with Israel. Marco Rubio has said it. Trump has said it verbatim at least twice. You know, that we did it because of Israel, period. Joe Kent is absolutely right to say that, you know, stating the truth that this is a war for Israel's sake, if that makes you anti-Semitic, well, then that charge isn't going to work anymore, just like racism doesn't work anymore. You know, Joe Kent's just the first of, I hope, other honorable people that are going to resign. We began this war with, they call it decapitation, but it really means assassination. Assassination, sneak attacks, where we had negotiated on Thursday and Friday, see you on Monday, and then Saturday night and morning, while people are sleeping, bombs go off, blowing up entire buildings, including the families and neighbors. So Khamenei, not only did he get killed, but his son survived, but his son, Junior, his wife was killed, siblings killed, children killed, neighbors killed. You think these guys are going to surrender because we keep assassinating leaders? Is there a point where you think that a culture of martyrdom, where the greatest straight route to, you know, to heaven is to die defending your country, to die defending Islam, and they see these as intertwined, not separate. Do you really think that they're going to just reach a pain threshold where they're going to surrender? They didn't surrender when they were being poison gassed. You know, they didn't surrender when 500 Scud missiles landed in Tehran over a couple months. You know, and even if we did flatten Tehran, the guys that are in, you know, surrounding the Strait of Hormuz, they're not going to surrender. And there's absolutely no chance of rooting out every drone and missile aiming at the Strait of Hormuz. You know, if you can put up, number two, which is called Trump's Hormuz toll booth, the Iranians have obviously been planning for this for years. There are two islands at the north. If you look at that, there's two islands at the north end of the Strait of Hormuz, Keshem Island and Larak Island. And you have to, if you're on a ship leaving the Persian Gulf, you have to coordinate with Iran and drive between those two islands in that narrow little gap, nice and slow, where they can talk to you and look at you with binoculars. So people will say, well, Matt, the Marines are coming. They can take those islands. Keshem Island is bigger than Okinawa. Okinawa was a three-month battle in 1945, the spring of 1945. 12,000 American troops died taking Okinawa in 3 months. Keshem Island is more rugged than Okinawa. There's a million people living on it.
If you look at the topography of Kesem Island, it's like the in Utah, there's, you know, Needles Parks and the ravines and the badlands of North Dakota. It's the best fighting terrain you can imagine. People think we're sending 2,500 or 5,000 Marines as if that's like throwing a drop into a bucket. That's like trying to put out a raging house fire with a squirt gun. It's a joke. Okinawa took 5 divisions. A division is 10,000 men. 3 Army and 2 Marine divisions. 3 months for Okinawa. That Kesem Island is bigger than Okinawa. That Larak Island, the small one, is bigger than Iwo Jima. So this is why we are not going to be able to open the Strait of Hormuz. We would have to carpet bomb 1,000 nuclear bombs all the way across the bottom of that. You know, the people, I think, just don't really understand the scale of things. You can put up number 3. It's called Iran and Vietnam. It's the gold-colored maps. That's it. South Vietnam is 1/10 the size of Iran. We had 500,000 troops in Vietnam in 67 and 68 at the height. 500,000 troops. That little part of Iran that I shaded is the size of South Vietnam. And we think that we're going to send 5,000 Marines and make a dent in that, that they can have thousands and thousands of missiles and drones. And if somehow we had a magic discombobulator that turned off drones deep down in caves, they would be able to fire torpedoes that are already underwater. There are sea mines that launch themselves from the shore. We can blow up everything we can see, and it won't make a difference. And people say, well, Matt, you can't compare World War II. Our weapons are so much better. This is sophistry. This is sophomoric. This is really foolish. In warfare, I don't care if you're talking about, you know, the Greeks and the Spartans, the sword and the shield evolve in tandem, the offense and the defense. Sometimes there's a jump ahead, like the machine gun coming out, and maybe some people are still trying a cavalry charge, so they get slaughtered. But in essence, the sword and the shield evolve together. At this point, we're kind of back to World War I, where even in Ukraine, nobody can just do a blitzkrieg, you know, and cover 100 miles with an armored column. The Schwarzkopf thing, that is over. That's done. So if we're going to send ships through the Strait of Hormuz, it's going to be a shooting gallery. I don't care. And forget the tankers that are going, you know, making those turns, going 7 or 8 knots, something that weighs 400,000 tons, right? It's like 4 aircraft carriers in bulk going 8 knots, which is practically a jogging speed, and has to go through those 2 little islands that Iran controls. One is bigger than Iwo Jima. The other is bigger than Okinawa. Has to go right between them. You know, there's a joke going around. I saw it on X. Can't take credit for it. But do you know which Navy was the first Navy to refuse to go to the Strait of Hormuz? You know which Navy that was? It was the U.S. Navy. Why do I say that? Because Trump is begging even China to send warships. The only reason he'd do that is his admirals have told him, no way, Jose. Of course, they can't be impolite about that. But what they do is they'll put everything on the record and they'll say, I'll only do it with a written signed order. So the admiral will only do it if the admiral above him puts his name. You know, I'm the captain that has to drive the first destroyer through there will say, I'd like that order in writing, please. So that, because it's against my better military judgment. In my opinion, you're sending me on a dash through a minefield, or you're sending me like Custer to attack 10,000 Sioux Indians, you know, or this is the charge of the Light Brigade, which interestingly was in the Crimean War, which, has a lot of echoes. It's the same super strategic region of the world, choke points all over the place. Can you put up we have a choke point map on here, number 7, the choke points. But the Crimean War, it was Britain fighting against the Russians, and somebody came up with the idea of a horse cavalry charge against people that had repeating rifles. Yeah, that's the charge of the Light Brigade. They're slaughtered. Then in 1915, also in that region, the Dardanelles, that's the part of Turkey where it's another strait, S-T-R-A-I-T, that leads from the Mediterranean up into the Black Sea. The British had the brilliant idea of controlling the Dardanelles so that the mighty British fleet could go in and support the Russians in World War I. And the only people guarding it were these Turks. I mean, come on, third world, Turks. Obviously, we're the British Navy. We're going to sail right on past. Well, they sailed right on past, and three battleships were sunk right off the bat. Artillery. Turks could aim. Then they said, well, I guess we'll have to land some troops. We'll put some troops ashore there in Gallipoli, and we'll wipe out those Turks. I mean, come on, they're just Turks. We're the Brits, Australians, Kiwis, South Africans, even some Irish. Should be no problem. They're third worlders. It took a year for the British to admit defeat and withdraw those troops. And I mean, it was a bloodbath. Many thousands were dead. I wrote it down somewhere, but I mean, it was a hell of a body count for that 1 year fiasco. And they never did get through that strait. So right now, American admirals are in a position of saying it's against their better judgment. And if I'm a Marine captain or major, I've read about Okinawa and Iwo Jima. I know the history. I know that our battleships, including 16-inch guns that fire a 2,000-round armor-piercing projectile, we plastered those islands, Iwo Jima and Okinawa, for weeks. Anywhere we thought there was a Japanese dugout or cave or anything, we bombed the shit out of them with Marine and Navy aviation and artillery. The consensus was that nobody can survive that. When the Marines landed in Iwo Jima, guess what? The Japanese were still there. It took a month to clear Iwo Jima with thousands and thousands of American casualties. And that's a little island that couldn't be resupplied. And it was a little island where there wasn't a Japanese mainland 20 miles away to support you with rocket fire. So imagine trying to land Marines on any of these islands. You not only have to attack an island bigger than Okinawa or Iwo Jima, you have to do it while being missiled and rocketed from hundreds of miles of Iranian mountains and cliffs and canyons. It's like Arizona mountains. It's super rugged, like New Mexico, Arizona mountains. And anywhere in those canyons, a rocket can fly out and they have solved the accuracy problem. Let me tell you, they hit what they're aiming at. They have infrared seekers like a little TV on the front of these drones. That's how they can fly right into the certain window of a building. Oh, you move CIA headquarters from the old safe house to the Hilton, 8th floor. They get the call. Yep, CIA, 8th floor. Drone, 8th floor. This is the level of accuracy. It's not going to be like artillery that may or be off target or not. So if I'm a Marine major, captain, colonel, I'm saying, you better put that order in writing because you're sending us into a death trap. This is why even in the Russians versus Ukrainians, neither side can just put 100 tanks together and drive down the road. They'd be destroyed in an hour, gone. So it's gone back to almost a World War I style of pace of attack. So the idea that we're going to storm through the Strait of Hormuz when these Marines show up, I mean, it's a total insanity. You have to wonder who's surrounding Trump to come up with these ideas. Now, from the American perspective, Trump, I think he has to understand if we don't open the Strait of Hormuz, it's a failure. It's a defeat for us. Doesn't matter. Every day, it's like echoes of Vietnam. And I was born in 57, so I was in a very politically aware family watching Firing Line with Buckley and reading National Review. I'm 10 years old. Walter Cronkite used to close every Friday with the casualty count, how many Americans died and were wounded that week. And it was in the hundreds for, a good week was in dozens and a bad week was hundreds. And they also had these press conferences just like today that you see today where the statistics are how many bombing runs we did, how many tons of bombs. body count. We conquered this village, conquered that village, as they say about Vietnam. We won every battle and lost the war because we weren't going to stay. And they all knew it. Eventually, we get worn out. We lost, what, 58,000 in Vietnam? The Vietnamese lost millions, and they didn't quit. It was their country. The Iranians are not going to quit. Even if Israel nukes Tehran, that won't open the Strait of Hormuz. Even if every drone and every missile is found, the Strait of Hormuz, you can put a bomb into a little motorboat. It's so tight. The confines are so tight. So what's going to happen next is we're going to eventually have to figure out a way to negotiate. But who do you negotiate with when your policy is assassinating every leader that emerges? There's a reason that you didn't assassinate ambassadors, people under a white flag coming to talk, or the opposing president. Because eventually they say, we can't negotiate with America. We say, we'll meet, and then they bomb you. They use negotiations as a trick to draw you into the open and then snipe you. It's like that scene in Braveheart. Oh, let's get the Scottish nobles and the British together. Then they hang all the Scottish nobles. After that, it's a fight to the death. It's really stupid to do this. Eventually, a war's got to come to an end. Who do you negotiate with if every time a leader emerges, you blow him and his whole family and the block up? This is not how you win hearts and minds. I mean, even the people that were against the regime at this point, they realize this is beyond which regime is in charge. It's whether Iran, Persia, exists as an entity anymore. Or is it going to be a Mad Max wasteland like they've turned Syria into? And on the way with Lebanon and Iraq and Libya and Gaza. They see that's the path. That's what Israel wants in this war. That's Israel's war. That's what they want out of this. And I think that we're like on right now on a kamikaze run. I think that Trump is being totally misled by the likes of Susie Wiles, you know, the Tulsi Gabbard, Jack Kent, God bless him. They could never get a word to him. He's been kept in a hermetically sealed cocoon, talking to people like Sean Hannity and Bibi Netanyahu. I mean, it's really embarrassing as an American to see our military co-opted by the Israelis. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it, that it's like one of these host parasite situations, you know, where a large healthy organism has some worm in its brain and turns into a zombie. Because this is absolutely destroying us in the eyes of the world. You know, I saw last week, Hegseth said proudly, every time an Iranian looks up, the only thing he sees are Israeli and American flags on those, you know, bomber jet bombers. It's like, do you think that is winning the world over to you? I mean, whether or not they like Iran or not, every Arab country, every Muslim country sees a coalition of America and Israel now. There's no distance between us. It's the same thing. You know, which one's the muscle and which one's the brain? It looks like they control us. And we're going to be paying for this for a long time because as Mike Adams laid out yesterday, the supply chain costs from this are just starting. Forget about whether gas went up a buck at the pump. That's nothing. You know, that's like the tsunami when the water goes out. That's all that is. That's called the suck back. Before a tsunami comes in, the wave dynamics actually draw the water back. Gasoline going up a dollar is nothing. The consequences of this are going to be industries shutting down around the world. Already in Japan, gas stations are running out of fuel. You know, industries are going to be shutting down. This will be a global depression. And the entire world will know who to blame. The guy that did it as a war of choice. And I use this analogy sometimes. If you're remodeling a house and it's got termites, it's a good house, but it's got bad termites, and you hate the termites, right? You don't remodel the house with a flamethrower, okay? If there's a snake in the kindergarten classroom and you really hate the snake, you don't throw in a frag grenade to kill the snake, saying this was the best way to deal with Iran is like saying I threw a hand grenade into the kindergarten. Yeah, I really wanted to get that snake, and I figured a hand grenade would do the job. Yeah, well, you also killed the kids. What do they say? Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So not only are we wrecking the global economy, which is going to lead to famine and depression around the world, and we will be blamed, America, we're also exposing our weakness. You know, the era of the aircraft carrier battle group being the ultimate, you know, fist in your face, you better do what I say. That's over, because our aircraft carriers have had to withdraw more than 1,000 kilometers from Iran, which means that their aircraft can't even take off from the carrier, hit a target inside of Iran, and fly back to the carrier. Just to get to Iran, they have to refuel on the way, fly over Iran, fly back, refuel again to make it to the carrier. I mean, this, in terms of like an op tempo or cost effectiveness, it's like stretching the carrier battle, the carrier concept beyond the point of ridiculousness. If we ever have to fight, say, with China over Taiwan, it's obvious now we'll be so far back from China that they'll own the whole South China Sea. They're going to own it with their missiles. They know our aircraft carriers are a paper threat anymore. And we can't stage another, even if we had the troops that we don't have, we could not stage another desert storm. There's no country in the region where you could just spend 6 months bringing in troops and bringing in logistical supplies. They're all in missile range now. You know, they've done the equivalent of putting out the Cyclops one eye, you know, with a slingshot, by nailing our billion-dollar radars and satellite uplinks with $30,000 drones. And we think we're like the smartest in the world, and our military is supreme. Trump says it all the time. Then how come the Strait of Hormuz is closed and it's going to stay closed? We're like getting ready for a cavalry charge after machine guns have been invented. We're not in the right paradigm yet. Anyway, it's an interesting time to be alive, to be around, to watch all this unfold. You know, God bless our troops. I'm sorry to see them misused in this way. I don't want any more Americans or anybody else to die. This war didn't have to happen. It shouldn't have happened. I support Joe Kent and others that feel the way he does. You know, and I hope that calmer heads can take charge at the White House and find a way out, because it looks like we're still on this self-destructive path. You know. Anyway, I've got the books for sale still. I've been writing about this for years and years, and I wish I could just write genre fiction and be a happy little author, but these are very difficult times, and I feel like I have to do what I can to spread the warning. We're heading for the rocks. You know, we're sticking our arm in a wood chipper. We're walking into a minefield. That doesn't mean I'm unpatriotic. You know, I don't want our troops marched into a minefield. That's the bottom line. I don't want to see America wrecked over this insanity of going to war with Iran when Iran has the rope to hang us all, and we marched up and put the rope around our necks and the world. So we'll see what happens. Every day is a new problem with the world. But anyway, I'm glad to have had the chance, and not sure when I'll see you again. But keep watching InfoWars. Hopefully we will stay on the air. Alex will be back in the saddle soon. InfoWars will go on. Talk to you later.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI. surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really know it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexjonesstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
And everybody, welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I am your host for this hour, Joe Biggs. And my guest host today, I will be joined by Enrique Tarrio, former leader of the Proud Boys. What's going on, man?
What's up, buddy?
What are you doing? I wish I was in your car driving. Like you.
Dude, I wish I was in my studio right now. I have to drive to...
Cubans can't even drive.
That's a lie. That's a lie. We both know it.
You're better on a raft. That's why you have a Tesla. It drives you.
No, actually, I'm not in the Tesla today. I have to drive a regular people car. I was hoping to put it on self-drive and do the show, just plant my phone, but I guess not. I guess I'm going to have to do two things at once. But I am driving safe, so I am not going to have any issues. And I'm 95, so I won't have any connection issues, but it's good to be with you, Joe.
Well, that's good. Well, since we've got a good connection with you right now, I want to throw to you first. What's something that's on your mind you want to talk about and dive into?
Well, you know what? I guess like the story from yesterday and today is the Joe Kent resignation and what he said in that resignation letter. Cause we've seen resignations before. We saw it from Dan Bongino. So I think right now there's like this, and there has been this MAGA civil war for what MAGA is. And I think this Joe Kent thing has made things worse. On both sides of the aisle here.
And why do you think that's happened too? It's like, it seems like ever since we went to jail, this new group of people came in and tried to take over the whole MAGA movement. And they're just, you know, these cuckservatives, they're people who toe the line, they kiss butt all day. They don't think for themselves. They're kind of a lot like the left. They're a lot like these liberals that we've been talking about over the years that when Kamala or Joe or, you know, Barack tell them to jump, they jump. And it's the same thing with some of these people on the right now that, you know, no matter what happens with this administration, they lick the boot and they're willing to take it. And, you know, that's why I'm proud to see guys stand up for what they believe in, you know?
Of course. And look, I think Cernovich had a very short tweet the other day, and I think he said it, and he said that a generational coalition squandered. You know, it's three words, but it's very possible. I mean, it's very powerful. I have a very nuanced view on the Joe Kent thing. I've been a Joe Kent supporter for a very long time. And I don't even agree with him. And I don't think the White House agrees with him. And they've voiced that opinion that, you know, Iran wasn't a direct threat. As a matter of fact, Caroline Leavitt had said something, not too long ago, about, it not being, Iran not being a threat to the homeland. That tweet was subsequently deleted. But look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm a dove. I think, I support the strikes on Iran, the direct strikes, you know, and some people disagree with it. You might disagree with it and some of the viewers might disagree with it. But, Joe Kent, I think, believes in what he says. So that's why I'm in this weird predicament where I'm supporting Joe Kent for what he's saying, but I'm also supporting the strikes on Iran. And I think that's what an independent thinker, should, position himself. It's not binary.
Well, I mean, no one should always have the same train of thought and think the same way all the time throughout their life. That shows there's no growth, that you have no thought process or anything like that. You know, my girlfriend showed me a tweet from Joe Kent, back in 2020, actually on my birthday, January 8th, 20, saying we should not sit and wait for the next attack, wipe Iran's ballistic capability out and get our troops out of Iraq. They are only targets now. No U.S. wounded in action, killed in action is a tribute to the professionalism of our military and intel professionals, not Iranian restraint. So, you know, he's had one point of view before, and now he's got a different one. My argument was, is at that time, he didn't have the intel that he has today as a U.S. counterterrorism intelligence director. But you never know. You know, he was a paramilitary CIA operator, special forces operator, tier one badass. So, you know, he has been in the know for quite some time. So, we'll finish this up after this break. Thank you for watching Alex Jones Show. I'm Joe Biggs with Enrique Tarrio. We'll see you in a minute.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. And I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
What's going on, everybody? This is Josephus Bigglesworth, a.k.a. Joseph, the hated one, with Enrique Tarrio. We are live here. Well, for me, live from Ormond Beach, Florida, and for Enrique Tarrio, somewhere on the road in South Florida. You know, we are Proud Boys, so I figured we could get into some Proud Boy news. You know, there's a movie called Becky, and it's about this girl who goes on a camping trip with her father. This neo-Nazi gang comes in and they try to wipe out her family. They succeed except for killing the little girl, and she kills all these bad guys. Well, either way, there's a sequel that's out on Netflix right now, and she has a run-in with a group of guys. They're called, like the Proud Americans or something like that. And they do the same hand gesture. And it's weird how, you know, they're weaving us into pop culture in so many ways. You know, they try to hurt us by doing it. They think that it's an attack on us, but they really don't understand that anytime you meme us or try to take us down, you, quite frankly, aren't going to succeed. You only make us stronger and bigger. And don't you have a clip of something that you wanted to go to?
Yeah, and it has to do, it's funny that you mentioned the Proud Boys right now. And look, again, I probably would have done things differently if I was Joe. I would have resigned. We'll find out more on the Tucker's interview. And I think he's actually going to go on the Mark Levin show. But let's go ahead and play this clip. And let me ask the audience if they disagree with the entire assessment by Chris Cuomo.
Mr. President, get rid of what and who does not serve you or us. How did a guy like Joe Kent get to be your top counterterror official? How did your top counterterror guy think there was no real threat from Iran and say nothing until now? How does he believe that you didn't want to strike? Either he had no conscience or no competence. Either way, no good. And these two positions are his most benign, okay? He's got ties to ultra-right wing extremists like the Proud Boys. He's got a Panzer tattoo. That's the, you know, the German tank. He believes in the great replacement theory that the left wants illegal immigrants to replace white voters. He believes the 2020 election was stolen. He believes the FBI instigated January 6th. Again, that would all make perfect sense if it was some MAGA man podcaster. But this guy had a critical job in the White House. You can't have a collection of kooks around you and think that you're going to be at your best as an administration.
See, we've already proven that January 6th was an inside job, that it was a complete and total setup. We saw in our trial the undercover agents that were there. It's all been brought to light. So the fact that he's going, how could a guy in that position believe that? Well, it's because they actually have access to the information that shows that Pelosi, McConnell and others set us up and let us take the fall in order to try to take down Donald Trump. And it was also a cover up of the stolen election. So, you know, whatever. Cuomo, the homo.
So, I mean, check this guy out. So replacement theory is also real. Let's be honest.
It's a NATO document.
Yeah. He believes that the 2020 election is stolen. Check mark. I'm on Joe Kent's side, that the FBI, was the ones that caused the insurrection, check mark. And that I don't know what ties he has to the Proud Boys. I don't think any, but he has ties to the Proud Boys that he supports the Proud Boys. Check. I mean, it's three or four checks in just that one video. And we should really. Look, take what he says today, and I guess we'll learn again what Kent says. But the Proud Boys aren't bad guys. J6 was a Fed insurrection, and the election was stolen, and there is replacement theory is real. And you don't even have to go to a document to see it. The Democrats are saying it. So maybe you could say, well, I dislike the way that he stepped down. Look, maybe I'm inclined to agree with you. Joe, you said it the best. He had such a strong position on Iran, and he has such a strong position that he's pro-Israel. I think you've seen those tweets before. What made him change those positions when he's in a position to get this information? And that should lead you to a question, not a conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, look, we all have views of what we believe based on the information we have at the time. You know, we make decisions based on what we see around us, our environment, what we're hearing, the people saying things, and the amount of information that we're allowed to get based on the access we have. You know, as a civilian, you have little to no access. As a lower tier soldier, you've got a little bit more than the average citizen. But as a tier one operator, then paramilitary, CIA operator, you get to dive a little bit deeper into the black ops community and see behind the curtain, behind the veil. So he's had a lot of inside information, but still none of that is the level of information that the director of the counterterrorism unit is going to have in the United States. So I think when we change our minds on stuff, it's not necessarily bad. It's just because we've gained access to more things, that we've expanded what it is that we know. And, you know, only an intelligent person can look at that information, go, okay, I've been wrong about this other stuff, and then make a new assessment and change his stance on something. I don't think it's necessarily bad to be a flip-flopper, but it is bad to flip-flop when you're just doing it back and forth, whichever the way the wind blows. Now, if you do it, you know, over time, and it shows that you're progressing and learning and becoming smarter, that's one thing. But you know, you see some people go, oh, I stand with Israel. Then I hate Israel. Then I stand with them, and then I hate them. Or I'm a Democrat. No, I'm a Republican. You know, that's flip-flopping back and forth. But to gain access to new information and then change your mind based on that. You know, and with a guy that's at that peak level, I mean, he seems like a very humble guy, a good family guy. You know, I don't know everything about him, but I do think that when you make a stance like that and you're going with your gut feeling, I think that's important. It shows that you're not a bootlicker. It shows that you're kind of going with your gut and your conviction. And I can't hate on someone for that.
No, you can't. You can't. You know, and everybody wants you to think a certain way. Everybody that I've seen, you know, with a high following wants to gatekeep in one way or another. And look, the same people that say, look, Mark Levin is the future of MAGA, and on the opposite side, people that say MAGA is dead, I think they're both absolutely wrong. And I believe that, like, I'm never going to say MAGA is dead, and I'm never going to say that Levin and Laura Loomer are the pinnacle of what MAGA is, because you know what MAGA is? It's an idea. And there's a figure behind that idea. Sure. Right. But we've like, you're not going to take something that we've worked hard for to build. You're not going to take some movement that, you know, you yourself did 4 years for, and I did 3 years for, and say, oh, this is mine, you can gatekeep, right? You're not going to do that. And I'm not going to allow anybody to do that. And I'm not going to allow anybody to say, oh, this movement's dead. It's not. It's a ragtag band of misfits that just want to see America be great again. And a byproduct of that is the America First movement. It's the same movement. It doesn't matter how you see it. So nobody's going to tell me that it's dead, and nobody's going to tell me that they're going to take me out of this movement, or Alex Jones or Joseph Bigglesworth or Ethan Nordin. You're not going to do it. I'm sorry. We're here to stay. You're just going to have to deal with us.
I mean, we've actually put in the time, no pun intended, yeah. But we've actually put in time, and fought. We've been there since the beginning in the trenches, putting our heads out there, faces out there, our identity. You know, so many people out here that talk a lot of smack, they cover their faces, they don't use their names, you know, they hide, and then they act like they're tough guys. We go out there with our identity, we dox ourselves, we don't care, come after us, attack us, kiss my ass, we're going to be out there right in your face, and we're going to let you know how it is. You know, MAGA's been around since Ronald Reagan. I mean, he actually coined the term Make America Great. It was just Trump that came in and trademarked and again added the MAGA part to it. But the whole concept of making America great has been around for a long time, you know, 1776, yeah. You know. So, you know, yeah. That's what we're here. That's what everybody should be about. You know, and the fact that we have so many lobbyists from all these other countries that our politicians are getting pulled left and right in every direction for the needs and benefit of another country, when we have homeless veterans, we have people not getting proper educations, veterans not getting the benefits they deserve, things like that. And it's just, it's BS. We're seeing politicians leave to go to other countries, to swear allegiance to help those people. Meanwhile, the constituents on their own state are suffering. You know, gas prices are high, grocery prices are high. The cost to buy a house right now is just the most unaffordable it's ever been. So, you know, shit's not that great, and we need to get our act together, and people need to wake up and realize, you know, let's stop kissing someone's butt because we elected them. When they do something wrong, you call them out. But when they do something good, you tell them a good job.
Of course. And that's where this ragtag coalition's come from, you know, and look, and I think it's like, the older dudes versus the newer dudes. And like, they don't remember. So, I pose this question to people that are like, oh, you know, protecting Joe Kent is counter signaling the president. Well, wait, so what happened when I was, crapping on Pam Bondi for not doing her job? And the reason for that, and the reason why the original coalition was more united, was because those appointees, right, they didn't do their job. So I asked them, after they tell me they're counter-signaling the president, I asked them, well, do you support the appointment of Christopher Wray? Do you support the appointment of Sessions, Barr, I can go down the list. You know what happens when I ask that question? They don't answer. They don't answer because there's not a good answer. That loyalty does not have to go. Like, if you want to be loyal to the president, fine. Look, I'm loyal to the president. I'm not afraid to say it. But to say that, oh, well, he's making great choices with the appointees. No, on the first term, we crapped all over his – I crapped on Mike Pence when he first picked him, right? It kind of grew on me later, but then, you know what? I was right. Original Tario was right. Pence ended up being a coward. So was Barr. So was Sessions. You know, we could go down the whole list. Did he make a better choices this time? Yeah. Pete Hegseth, great choice. RFK, you know, I don't know too much about the House. Tulsi Gabbard, amazing choice. Like, these are great people, and he didn't make better choices. That I have to give to the president, but he didn't make perfect choices. Pam Bondi, for example, is not a good choice.
Yeah, they need to get rid of her. I know there's talks right now of maybe trying to install Alina Haba as the next attorney general. You know, who knows? But I think there's, you know, better picks out there. You know, and the fact that you look at Pam Bondi, I mean, look at her deputy attorney general, Blanche. I mean, this guy is a Democrat. He's a gatekeeper. He is withholding information from getting to the president. From what we know, you know, this guy is basically an Obama holdover. He's a coward. He's an anti-American communist piece of trash. I can't stand him. Obviously, you can tell by the words I'm using. You know, I mean, he's literally blocking my pardon from happening. So yeah, I don't have much love for a guy that's keeping me, someone who served honorably in combat, from getting my VA benefits still. You know, here it is. We've been over a year, still haven't gotten a pardon yet. Still struggling to get things going. You know, I just started my own power washing business and, you know, getting that going. So, you know, we have to do what we do to survive. But it'd be nice to have that VA money coming in for my retirement that I earned.
You know, and being an independent thinker also, you know, like you have to look at everything. And you know what? I held off my criticisms of Todd Blanche because all I was hearing was hearsay. But look, I could confirm here on InfoWars, that, from the inside, I've already gotten confirmation that it is Todd Blanche that's blocking your pardon. And blocking all the weaponization, division of the DOJ. There's literally one person at the DOJ that's working on the executive order against weaponization. There is one. I challenge the DOJ to counter what I just said. They can't. There is one person in the entire building in the entire nation that is working on the executive order by the president. One of the biggest executive orders by the president. I challenge the DOJ to prove otherwise. And they can't, because it is the truth.
Yeah. Todd Blanche needs to go. Bondi needs to go. There's so many. You know, that's yeah. One thing I miss about the, first term Trump is, you know, when he didn't see, when he saw something he didn't like, he fired him and he goes, you know, good job or whatever, but you got to go and then bring in someone else. You know, that's not happening this time. You know, here we are a little over a year in and we're not seeing people lose their jobs. We're not getting, they're not on the chopping block. I want to see Bondi gone. She's had plenty of time. She's failed so much aside from funny. Hey, we got the Epstein files. They're all on my desk. Wait, there's no Epstein files. Yeah. Hey, this is here. No, it's not here. It's here. It's not there. It's here. It's not there. And then she appoints Blanche, you know, and then this guy comes in. He's a complete and total Democrat, a tool sabotaging everything that Trump's trying to get done. And then, it's making her look bad too. I mean, fire both of them and let's start anew. Let's bring in some fresh blood. Let's get someone young, vigorous, who's ready to go out there and fight, not scared of the swamp. And you know, that's what it's going to take to save this country, to save the DOJ. It's someone in there with skeletons in the closet who just doesn't care. Someone who's not, you know, willing to take the arrows, and fall on the sword because you know what? Everybody's got skeletons in the closet, you know, and it's going to take a hero to stand up and fall on his own sword and expose everything. But guess what? When your skeletons are let out of the closet, the stuff that you expose will be 10 times worse and no one will care about the puny little skeletons that came out of your closet. They're going to be more concerned about the horrendous acts of torture, violence, rape, murder, things like that, that the DOJ knows about, but hasn't exposed. There's no arrest yet. So That's what has to happen, but no one has the balls to do it. And the people who do have the balls to do it are never going to get put in a position in the DOJ so they could expose this stuff. So that's why you only see cowards get put in these positions sometimes.
Yeah, and look, a good choice, you know, and he won't get confirmed, but at least temporarily when you remove, you know, Ed Martin has done an amazing job and he's really trying. I know that he's trying, but I know that he's getting blocked by people like Todd Blanche. He's getting blocked by the careers that are sitting in the DOJ. A lot of people don't know how the DOJ works. Some of these career holdovers that have been there for decades, you know, are business as usual. And the moment that, the Biden administration, Biden regime, told them to jump, they said how high. Now the Trump administration comes in and they go ahead and like, and they do nothing. So we need an absolute buzzsaw. We need somebody with an axe to grind. I don't want to half step this. And if we have to keep appointing somebody every 180 days to that position because the Senate doesn't have the balls to confirm, then by all means, that's what we're going to have to do. Because I've warned this before, but in 2029, if justice doesn't come from Pam Bondi in the next couple of months, in 2029, they're going to arrest Trump within 30 to 60 days that he's out of office, right? They're going to take the king piece out of play, right? And then they're going to come after all of us. And I don't think any of you doubt that that's going to happen. You know, a lot of people said, oh no, they're not going to go after Trump legally. And they did, and they're going to continue to do so, in 2029. So we need the most important position in this cabinet is the attorney general. And if we can't get the attorney general we need, we're going to have to just shimmy along and put in six different people, till Trump's terms ends. To grind that axe, to put the buzzsaw onto this old oak tree that's just moldy, and so we could grow something new. So it needs to happen.
Yeah, people don't understand just how weaponized it is. I mean, we are currently, you and I and Trump, going through so many lawsuits right now that if we had someone at the DOJ who actually cared, could wipe this stuff out. And we are spending money; they are draining us of our money. We're borrowing money. We have some lawyers that are being kind and doing this work for us pro bono. But we are swamped in so many lawsuits. And that's what people understand is when Trump goes and like we said, and they come after us, they're not just going to come after you, in a sense of guns pointed at you. If they can't get that, they will come at you financially. They will debank you. They will deplatform you. They will have you up to your neck in lawfare. And they don't play nice. You know, the DOJ, the justice system in America is by far, probably one of the most corrupt there is. We live in the land of illusion. Everything here has this illusion of freedom and peace and everything's great, grand and perfect, but it is not. That is the matrix you see, you know, take a bite of the steak. You know, it's not real, but it tastes good. It doesn't taste good to me though here. You know, I see what's really going on and I'm sick and tired of it. I see good, hardworking Americans being destroyed every day just because they supported Trump and or they have the balls to stand up and preach freedom, to talk about freedom of speech. You know, like the events that we've done over the years, we've been attacked by mayors, governors, presidents, world leaders. You know, they've used the FISA courts to spy on us. They've had Interpol look at us. We've been FBI's most wanted. You know, we literally are some of the most, you know, like notorious criminal masterminds in the world. And we're actually just two autistic retards.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, listen, the FBI wanted posters are super cool. I think it's awesome. I don't think I ever, actually, you should put that in your studio, just frame the FBI wanted poster of you. I never got one. But
we'll work on that, like, but there's still time.
There's still time. Well, we might have another one if everything I said plays out. And I think it's going to play out that way if Democrats steal the election in 2028. But we need to get serious here on these prosecutions, and we need to get serious here on like people that don't think exactly, people that say that you have to toe the line. I think it's so important You know, I get Loomer has an axe to grind and a personal vendetta against Tucker, but she needs to drop that, you know? Like,
he has an axe to grind with everybody. I mean, it's like, grow up, move on, and start talking about the news. Like, this, she's like TMZ. It's freaking annoying.
I don't get her, and like every day, and then she's going after people financially, and she's going, and you know it's a personal vendetta because she's not going after any leftists, right? So what she's doing is she's taking her position of power where she can call, you know, I don't know how much real power she has, but regardless, to call the White House and be like, hey, don't invite Tucker. And like that power should never be given to somebody that vindictive and faked a tire assassination when it was really tire rot.
All right, guys, we're about to go on a break. We got 8 seconds. Hey, guys, this is the Alex Jones Show with Joe Biggs and Enrique Tarrio. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break. Thank you.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
We have a new product in at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity, with no letdown, and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, it can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, thealexjonesstore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA Revival today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have guys for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy Ultra Methylene Blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself.
Tommy Robbins was blown away by yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, Methylene Blue T-shirt, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Joe Biggs, your host. And today with me is Enrique Tarrio, guest hosting as well, while he is live from the road heading to an event. You know what? I want to talk about something that happened to a friend of mine. You know about the Baker Act?
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, so now there's red flag law here in Florida that if you say something crazy and someone hears it, they can call the police on you. And then immediately arrest you, throw you in a psych ward, and then charge you a bill for like $4,000, you know? So it's like insane. And it's basically like you say something, then they make you go to a court to fight to get your gun rights back. And then you get a bill one day that says, yo, $4,000. You didn't want to go there. You never said, hey, you know, I need help. The police just make the decision right there. And they always say that they're going to make that decision that you need to go to mental health evaluation. They put you in a cell for, 17 to like 32 hours, something like that. You know, and this person was there for like 14 hours. They passed all the mental exams that they were, given to them. They go to the court date. The judge refuses to give the gun back to the person. And then says you have to wait 5 months. And the sheriff's department, is going to keep like an open investigation to see if there's any incidences in the future. And then if there aren't any, then they have another hearing to see if you're deemed to have, you know, be able to get your gun back. So it's like, it's crazy. And they just showed me, you know, they got billed $4,000 to go stay in a tiny room, sleep on the floor, not be given food except for like one TV dinner and be in a paper, like robe thing. Yeah, they did blood work, all this stuff. But it's like, what the heck? I mean, how can we get away with stuff like that in this country and nobody's even flipping out about it? I mean.
And this person's in Florida, Joe?
Yeah. Cause that's where it is in Florida. Well,
you know, I just don't want to, all roads lead to the same place. So obviously red flag laws, there's a law, right? It's a law. And it was up to the Florida Attorney General to figure if that law is constitutional or not. We know it's not constitutional, but you know who was the Attorney General of Florida at the time that these red flag laws, were put in place? And her name was Florida Pam Bondi. So, listen, the whole Baker Act thing, I can't really talk to the whole Baker Act thing. But as far as the red flag laws, like these were things that were started, with this whole idea that, you know, these things would work, and they don't. They've proven that they don't work. How much red flag laws do they have in the UK? You know, they have nice
basically
laws.
What you're
in
saying
the UK.
Is you're giving people who are not psychologists, like a cop or somebody, the opportunity to determine your mental status, right there on the spot. So this person has no training in that whatsoever. And they just go because they know they have no training. So they can just be on the safe side. They go, all right, we're going to take him in. They don't tell you that, you know, when they take you in, they're going to take your gun. You're going to have to fight to get it back. Even if the gun was not used in anything, just the fact that you own a gun and you get called on, they can take your weapons from your home. They can come in and search it, confiscate it. Then they can put in a hold on you and say that you're a threat, a public safety threat in a sense, and that you're not allowed to own firearms, ammunition, or anything like that for so-and-so long until there's a final determination. You know, this person was told they got to come back in 5 months. That doesn't mean that in 5 months it's up. It just means in 5 months they're going to reevaluate the situation and go, well, should I give this person their ability to protect themselves back?
And it's complete and total BS. It's so overreach and it's dangerous when we allow untrained people with agendas, law enforcement, people that they know they're making money off this, the state's making money off this, to make the right decision and in the best interest of the individual, the community and the family or whatever that's involved. I just don't trust it. I don't like it. I don't understand why Americans don't get more pissed off about stuff like that, why we keep allowing, we elect these officials to protect our constitutional rights and they trample on them left and right.
So I'll tell you a story from 2018 during the campaign trail of DeSantis in 2018. We had this thing called Amendment 4 that was being proposed in Florida. We needed to get petitions. And what Amendment 4 was the rights of felons to get their voting rights back. And it specified nonviolent felons, right? And against my Republican counterparts, I not only door-knocked for DeSantis, I door-knocked also for Amendment 4. And I got a lot of crap for it. So lo and behold, we got it put on the ballot. And it was passed through voting in the midterms. So we got Amendment 4 and we got DeSantis on the same midterm election year. So I turned around. There was this gentleman that put this whole thing together. And I called him and he was an ultra left winger. He was a cool guy. And after the election, I'm like, look, this was such a great success. It passed with flying colors because in Florida, you have to pass with 60%. I said, hey, I sent him a text message. I remember this like clearly. And I think I still have the text messages. I told him, hey, can we do the same thing for Second Amendment rights, for gun rights, at least push it for nonviolent felons to get their gun rights back? This guy left me on red after about 11 months of answering my text messages within seconds. This guy never spoke to me again once I asked him that question. Because we wanted to get the apparatus that put these petitions together. And lobbied, the people of Florida, the residents of Florida for this amendment to pass. And he completely blocked me, after that. So, I believe that, you might not like it, but I think that you should, after you serve your term and your probation, and I think most people on here agree with me, you should be able, like nobody should be able to take away your constitutional rights. And that includes a jury of your peers shouldn't be able to take your constitutional rights.
Well, what's messed up is, we're both felons now.
Yes.
And it's, you serve your time and, I didn't get a pardon. I was commuted, but that still means that, all right, my time was served. Regardless if it was the 17 or 34 years, the president goes, okay, you served enough for, yada, yada, yada. At that point in time, we should get our rights back. What's the point of going to jail then? It's like either keep your rights and go to jail or don't go to jail and lose your rights or something like that, but it doesn't make sense that we have to go to jail and then come home after we've been away. And then they go, okay, you need to find work. And it's like, okay, I'm a seditionist, so to say. I'm considered a domestic terrorist. No one's going to hire me, that's just one of those things. And then plus the stigma of being an inmate. As soon as you mention prison, you'll see everybody like get their eyes get big, like, whoa, what the hell? This guy's not going to be, he's going to be probably a crazy person, So, we've got to do something. It doesn't make sense that we have people serving all this time, taking time away from their family, and they get in there, they do the right thing, they keep their head up, they better themselves, they get educated, they read, they calm themselves, they meditate, they pray, they work on their inside, their soul, and then they come home and just get, crapped on left and right, and that's something that we need to fix. I mean, what's the point of calling it corrections if when you get home, no correction can be made? And why do they always say, do you feel like you've been rehabilitated? Well, what's the point of rehabilitation if I come home and I'm lesser than everyone else and I don't have the same opportunities? I should have opportunities because I did serve my time. I did whatever it was or was accused of and was convicted of it. and I did the time and I should be able to come home and live my life and move forward. What, you know, and that's why you say you see people in this revolving door when it comes to prison. You know, they get in, they get out, they go back in, they go out, because when they get out, they can't find jobs. And the only way to make money to provide for their kids, their wife, the school they need, the house, the clothes, the cars, the food, is to go back to dope dealing or robbing banks or whatever it is they do. And you put them and you force them back into the lifestyle that you say is wrong, that you disagree with as society, but you force them back into that because there are no other opportunities afforded to them once they have that label on them as a felon. And it's ridiculous. I mean, nonviolent, felons should not be tortured this way. And even someone that might had a one-time violent crime when they were young, you know, yeah, people do grow and people do change and that should be reevaluated. You know, but I just don't understand why more people don't get upset about that. You know, and that's why I want us to go on a speaking tour. You know, I want to launch a national tour with you and I, Stuart Rhodes, and some other people out there, you know, that have been through this situation, like maybe Shane Jenkins, Zach Real, Ethan Ordine. And let's talk about, you know, to the American people about what it's like when the FBI comes in, when that, you know, warrant signed, the process that happens after that, what to expect. Because like you said, this can happen to a majority of Americans here the next few years if they steal the election successfully again. And they will go after their enemies because they are vindictive pieces of trash. So I think it'd be imperative for us to go around on a tour around the nation to every state and tell people what their rights are, you know, what it's really like, what you can do when you're in that process of the of going through something like from your initial arrest, how important it is to have a paid lawyer versus a court appointed, when you should get a paid one, when you should just stick with a court appointed one, you know, what to expect with the FBI, what you should say, what you shouldn't say. You know, these are all things that we have experience in. A lot of people think that if they cooperate with the government, they're good. No, if you cooperate with the government and talk to them in any way, when you get to prison, because you will go to prison, at some point, you're going to get stabbed. You will be shanked. You will be killed. And they don't, you want to walk out on the yard when you get to a prison. They check your paperwork. You're black and white. And they look at that. They see, A, are you a sex offender? Are you a chomo, which is a child molester, or a rat, a snitch, you know, government operative of some sort? Any of those checks right there on your paperwork, you're done. Either A, you're dead, or they're going to keep you and you're going to have to check in. And in the middle part, you're going to be in solitary confinement until the prison tries to put you back out there. Then you deny entry to the yard again, and then they move you. So now you got to go through the process of moving again across the country, whether it be on Con Air or bus and the box cuffs. That's torture itself. You know, people understand the ramifications of things like that. They think it's like, oh, well, if I just say this or that to them, you know, I'm helping myself and my family. No, you're not. You're endangering yourself. You don't talk to them at all. And there's so many things people could learn about what it's like when they do these, discoveries and things like that in trial, what to expect, what you should say. Should you take the stand? Should you not, you know, should you go through a trial, individually, or should you do it in a group like we did? You know, there's so many things that people can learn a lot from. And I think people would be, their mind to be blown to know just how corrupt it is. Everybody thinks that if you get there in front of the judge, you've got an equal and fair chance at proving yourself to be innocent. You don't, especially with us. I mean, the whole system was rigged against us, to destroy, you know, our minds, to try to break us down, to beat us into submission, to defame us on the media when we couldn't defend ourselves, when we were behind bars, to go after our families, to take our homes, to take our money. So people need to understand that the fight's going to come to them soon. If they don't wake up, get off their asses and start fighting back. And what I mean by that is not in the physical sense at this point in time, but in the sense that you are aware of what's going on, speaking out about it, actually paying attention to who it is that you're voting for, looking at their voting records, looking at their history as a person, making sure you're not putting a rhino in just because I don't want someone on the left. Sometimes you could put someone in on the right that could just be just as worse as the other person. But people need to get smart and take the time to understand the environment that we're in at this point in time, because things are going to get really bad here in a few years if we don't get our act together.
You know, to harp back on what you were saying in the beginning, it's not hyperbole that I'm saying this, that, you know, also not having that pardon is putting your life at risk, Joe. You know, how many death threats have you gotten since you've been home? You know, and if just a portion of them turn out to be real, then what ends up happening, sorry about that, somebody called. If just a portion of that turns out to be real, then, you can't defend yourself in your own home. And I don't see, so there is a path,
maybe for some people, but I am a deadly weapon. So
yeah. damn right you are.
Like Dan Bongino right now, huh?
Please don't. Please don't. I've tried to stay away from the Bongino thing right now. I could go on for hours. We only got a couple of minutes, but I could go on for another segment just on Bongino. There is another path that got funded with the Big Beautiful Bill. There's a department within the DOJ that you can petition through the ATF that gives you your gun rights back. I didn't find this out until just recently. I'm getting ready to put my paperwork in. Maybe you should consider that regardless, but that would be even secondary. Even telling you that is wrong, because you should be pardoned. You should be, the 12 of you, I believe 12 is the count right now. The 12 of you should be pardons, and your pardon petitions are sitting there. And, the Department of the Pardon Attorney, the Office of the Pardon Attorney has already said yes to them. So it's up to Todd Bland to send them over, to over to the executive for the Trump to sign. I don't know what the holdup is.
Why are we giving one person, why is one person have so much control over everything? You know, this one guy is literally dismantling Trump's agenda singularly. This one guy is able to screw up so much stuff. We should not allow, there shouldn't be one person lower than the president, that has the power to block information from getting to him and things that he needs to be doing. I mean, that's just,
what? Yeah, I agree. Look, and, Susie Wiles, you know, like a lot of people, I still consider it hearsay until I see something. I have not turned on Susie Wiles. Actually, I'm praying for her for a quick and speedy recovery. You know, besides hearsay, I haven't seen anything. You know, and people are mad at her. Yeah, she has early stage breast cancer. So, I think she's going through, something right now, and then she's going to be back at the White House. You know, and Susie Wiles, look, the chief of staff of the president, like their main job is gatekeeping, you know, and you could argue, you know, she's gatekeeping the wrong things or whatever. And those are fair assessments, but we just don't know what's even getting to Susie Wiles and what's not. We don't know. Does she have the finger on the pulse? You could question that. Does President Trump know that these 12 haven't been pardoned? You know, there's so many questions, and I wish there was more transparency.
He knows, because the day that he signed them, they go, I remember after I got out of jail, I saw the clip. They go, well, what about these other guys? He goes, well, these guys, we need to review them a little bit more, and later on we can come back. But, you know, here it is. It's been over a year, and I don't blame Trump for this. It's like I said, it's the people getting stuff to him. I just think that he's been so busy, he just doesn't remember right now. I mean, it's just not something that's at the tip of his, you know, the front of his mind, so to say, as Kareem off the mountain Pierre would say. I just think that someone needs to remind him, and then he could do it. You know, there's so many people we know that are in the White House press room, and they don't say anything. None of them will say anything for us and stand up for us. They don't care. They call me. They want interviews all the time. But when I ask them the one question, will you go and stand up and ask that for us in front of Caroline Leavitt? I think that's her name. They won't do it. And it's like, you know, you want this for me. You want me to give you an interview. You want to hear my story to help you sell stuff. But when I need you, you won't do it. And that's just what we keep saying. People don't have the balls to stand up and ask a question. You have freedom of speech, and you are at the White House press room, and you are too scared to ask questions. Come on. Talk about being a hypocrite.
Yeah. And you know, nothing against, like, what I'm about to say is nothing against Caroline Leavitt. I think she's done an excellent job. But, if you remember, I think one of my favorite press secretaries was Sean Spicer. You know, Sean was a fireball. And I think, I do think that, some of the White House, press corps should ask these questions. You know, Kara's asked, numerous questions, including this one, at the White House press briefing. I think that, other journalists should ask the president what's going on with this. And look, I have no doubt that it will happen. The problem is that, like, you're suffering and the other 11 are suffering too. In the meantime that this isn't happening, you know, can you wait, you know, another two and a half years to
and
get
that's
this
more
done
money I'm losing. I'm not getting back pay.
Yeah.
I'm not getting back pay from the VA. The head of the VA told me I wouldn't get it. So the longer I go without getting this stuff, I'm losing money, literally, you know, five grand a month.
Yeah. And look, it's a risk to your life too, right? Cause like I said, these death threats, some of them are real, you know,
if someone stabs me or shoots me and I need to go to the hospital, I'll be denied because I can't go.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I think, if there's a message to the president, I think the president should to look over these and sign them because you guys deserve a pardon. There's no reason, you know, there wasn't any acts of violence that we were convicted of
literally the calmest ones there and we got screwed the most. We were nonviolent, kept our hands to ourselves, just walked around, and we were, lied about the most. Tortured the most, screwed over the most, and then we come home, we don't even get a pardon, and then we're left to fend for ourselves for the next year. You know, Joe Biggs deserves a pardon, Ethan Nordine, Zachary Real, Dominic Pozzola, Stuart Rhodes, Jessica Watkins, all these others, you know, Kelly Meggs, you know, Joe, Hanneman, I think is his name. There's a bunch of us, you know, and we all deserve to have our lives back and to be able to provide for our families and have this burden removed from our shoulders because we all know it's one big, beautiful lie. And
I've told you this. Oh, God.
No.
I've told you this before, Joe. You know, I kind of have like survivor's guilt with this pardon because I want to take the listeners, the viewers out there back to when we were in the gulag. You know, we're in the catacombs under. And I'm like, I don't care if I get a pardon. I'll take a commutation. And you guys were like, no, we want a pardon. And I'm like, I don't care. And I end up being the only one that got it. And I still don't have answers to that. I still don't understand. Like I get that I wasn't there and that was like the narrative. You know, maybe that's it, but like I have survivor's guilt because look, I'm in the same spot. You know, for something that I really did do. You know, it's a mistake that I really did make and I got a felony and I'm going to petition the president to get a pardon for that too. Will it happen? I don't know. But
remember
look,
remember we got to the DC jail and they had this like, they always do these skits and stuff. And the very first skit they did for us when we got there was they were handing out like these awards for people and Jake Lang gave me the award most likely to not get a pardon. So I kind of blame him now for his jujitsu move he put on me. That asshole. Damn it, Jake Lang, I blame you. You freaking put that out there in the universe with your negativity and your stupid skit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And your messages.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's been a fun day so far. We got to go here in a minute, buddy. Any final words? We got about 20 seconds.
Okay, just in final words, I hope you guys will join us for the Stay Awake America tour in Fort Pierce. Go to my profile at Noble One on Twitter. I'm about to put it up. It'll be Saturday at 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Me, Tommy Robinson, Ivan Reichlin, and a couple of others will be putting this event together. And second, please, you see how my profile is? Put the post notifications on because I will be announcing my book on Monday. I will be announcing my memoir and a guide to everything that I've been through. And that will be live on my Twitter on Monday.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching.
The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host today, Joe Biggs, with guest host Enrique Tarrio. Coming up next, the War Room. No. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break. Thanks for watching.
Black rolling.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.